fire, or paramedics in case of any kind of emergency. Feel safe and secure in your business or in your own home. Call 623-205-8003. That's 623-205-8003. Or log on to protectyourworldalarms.com. Log on to protectyourworldalarms.com.
This is the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
AP Radio News. I'm Diane Kepley. Progress is being made, but it's not time for a rapid troop withdrawal in Iraq. That assessment today from America's top military leader there, General David Petraeus, told members of the Senate Armed Services Committee he is recommending a 45-day pause in troop reductions after the forces taking part in the surge complete their pullout in July.
At the end of that period, we will commence a process of assessment to examine the conditions on the ground and over time determine when we can make recommendations for further reductions.
The AP's Jerry Bodlander now joins us live with more on today's testimony.
Diane, the general's plan came under immediate fire from Senate Armed Services Committee Chairman Carl Levin.
Just the next page in a war plan with no exit strategy.
And Levin tried to pin General Petraeus down on how soon after the evaluation period the troop withdrawals might resume.
It could be right then, or it could be longer. Again, it is when...
Can you...
And that has been the only protest so far. Diane?
Well, there is word from Iraq now that the Iraqi military command for Baghdad has banned unauthorized vehicles in the capital from 5 in the morning to midnight tomorrow. Earlier today, Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr threatened to lift a 7-month ceasefire if the Iraqi government does not halt attacks on his followers. Tight security in San Francisco as the Olympic torch arrives for its only North American stop. USOC spokesman Steve Roush had a message for anyone who wants to demonstrate.
I would hope that any protests are done in a civil and appropriate manner that does not disrupt the honor and integrity of the Olympic torch relay.
The IOC is considering whether to end the international leg of the torch relay because of the protests. Fewer homes are under contract these days. An industry group says pending U.S. home sales fell in February to the lowest rating since it began tracking such things. Some modest losses today on Wall Street, with the Dow now down about 31 points. This is AP Radio News. In Texas, there are still questions to be answered about what was going on at a ranch built by polygamist leader Warren Jeffs. More than 400 children are now in state custody in what authorities are describing as the largest child welfare operation in the state's history. Carolyn Jessup is a former member of the sect. She told the CBS Early Show she left it because of growing abuse.
The economy has been getting weaker and...
It got so bad. I mean, I don't remember a time when I wasn't afraid. I mean, you never feel safe.
The raid on the ranch came after a 16-year-old girl had claimed that she was being abused and that girls as young as 14 and 15 were being forced into marriages with much older men. There's a mistrial in the fraud case against celebrity pathologist Cyril Wecht. He was accused of using his staff at a county coroner's office to do work for his lucrative private practice. Another trial date has already been set. And talk show host Conan O'Brien has been stalked by a Catholic priest. The priest is pleading guilty to disorderly conduct. I'm Diane Kepley, AP Radio News.
Brought to you by Subway Restaurants. Hurry into Subway because right now, for a limited time, get freshly made, mouth-watering, regular foot-long subs for just $5. $5! Subway, eat fresh.
Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, Randy Rhodes, Jeff Farias, and Mike Malloy. The wrench in the right-wing noise machine. This is the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX.
Replacing just one light bulb with a compact fluorescent light bulb will save 150 pounds of carbon dioxide per year. Renewal by Anderson, the only window company certified by Green Seal, is having a light bulb swap. Join me in bringing down your old light bulbs to Renewal by Anderson and swapping them for new energy-efficient light bulbs free of charge while supplies last. Limit 4 per household. The swap is next Saturday, April 19th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Visit 1480kphx.com for more information on the swap or call 480-967-5557.
Next to a house, a car or truck is usually the biggest investment most people make. Hello, my name is Frank Sarwart. I will be giving Frank auto advice from 2 till 3 p.m. every Saturday on 1480kphx. From how and what kind of car to buy, where to get it fixed, legal issues, and much more. That's Frank Auto Advice, Saturdays at 2 p.m., right here on the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX.
Come visit Copper Star Coffee in the heart of the historic Melrose District, nestled conveniently on 7th Avenue, just north of Indian School. Meet your best friend for lunch, a client, or your book club at Copper Star Coffee. Enjoy the finest locally roasted coffee or a tasty pastry in the historically renovated 50-style Phillips Station for full-service coffee. Whether you're stopping by to meet a friend or driving through on your way to work, Copper Star Coffee is coffee with character. Copper Star Coffee, a 50s feel with modern technology. Free Wi-Fi is available. Give them a call at 602-266-2136 or stop in Copper Star Coffee on 7th Avenue, just north of Indian School Road, or visit us on the web at copperstarcoffee.com. That's Copper Star Coffee, coffee with character.
01-20-2009. Think about this future, Mr. or Mrs. President. We on Main Street screw up with credit and they jack our rates up to 30%. Wall Street screws up credit and you give them more.
01-20-2009. Talk about it. Plan for it. Hope for it. Here.
1480 KPHX.
This is the Tom Hartman Program, live and exclusively on the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX.
Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program, the no boring zone. Tom Hartman.
Petraeus is testifying before Congress. The political candidates for president are posturing. Carl Levin seems to be doing a pretty solid job of just trying to keep the whole thing on track, keep it on the rails. But I wanted to get some expert thoughts on this. Gareth Porter is an historian and national security policy analyst. He's the author of the book Perils of Dominance, Imbalance of Power, and the Road to War in Vietnam. In fact, he served as the Saigon bureau chief for the Dispatch News Service International, as the co-director of the Indochina Resource Center, an independent analyst with the Interpress Service, and the website FPIF.org. And Gareth, is there another website you want us to know about?
Well, IPS Interpress Service has its own website, IPSnews.net, so that's another okay. place where I'm
doing it. Great. And in fact, I found your article at the top of commondreams.org, reprinted
right.
from the Interpress
exactly.
Service.
Exactly. That's another site that publishes my stuff.
Right. But Petraeus' testimony to defend false proxy war line. What are you seeing so far this morning from the testimony that backs this up? I have not, so far, now I'm on the air right now. I'm not, obviously not listening to the testimony at this moment. But so far, I haven't heard much mention of Iran.
What I can tell you is that that Petraeus definitely led off with the idea that what the United States is facing in Iraq is so-called special groups of Shiite militiamen who are supposed to be the cat's paws. These are not Petraeus' terms, but in effect that's what he's calling them, cat's paws for Iran in Iraq. In other words, he's making exactly the argument that I said he would be making as a key element of the argument for keeping U.S. troops in Iraq.
And wouldn't that also be the setup argument for an attack against Iran?
Well, it definitely could be used for that purpose. Again, I'm not ruling that out at all. I think the more immediate purpose of this, however, is to bolster the White House's case for keeping U.S. troops there, which I think is their dominant concern at the moment with Petraeus' testimony.
Yeah. John McCain accidentally, or perhaps not this morning, referred to al-Qaeda as a Shiite sect.
he did it again.
Yeah. And then he apparently corrected himself. He said, are they just a Shiite sect, or a Sunni sect, or whatever, But
it's almost a joke now, isn't it?
Yeah, but this idea of these rogue elements. Now, my understanding is that that there are about 90,000 Sunnis that we have been arming and we have been paying not to shoot at us, Sunnis who used to be shooting at us, who are on the edge of revolting against the Shia-led government that through whom our payments have been funneled, that apparently has not been paying the bills, and join at least what might appear to be al-Qaeda in Iraq, that there's, you know, some really serious concern here about a Sunni uprising, that we have the Shia, there are competing sects of Shia within Iraq, the Sadr, you know, Badr brigades, and Sadr, of course, is in Iran right now, that Iran brokered this ceasefire. What is the actual role of Iran? Who are the players? What, you know, give us an overview of what's actually, what you know, setting aside, you know, what General Petraeus is saying for the political audience, what's actually going on in Iran right now, in Iraq right now?
Right. Well, I think that the key point here is, there are two key points. You know, in terms of the Iranian factor, the problem that the United States faces is that Iran is really far more powerful, far more influential than the United States wants to acknowledge. I mean, its argument that that the Iranians are backing sort of a small splinter section of the Shiite militia of the Mahdi army of Muqtada al-Sadr is really sort of far underestimating the actual position of Iran in Shiite Iraq.
Because, well, isn't Iran in fact supporting the government of Iraq?
They are supporting, not only are they supporting the government, but they are so influential with the government that you have the key Shiite party supporting the government traveling to Qom, Iran, you know, after this disastrous Basra operation, obviously became a cropper, and asking the IRGC, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps commander in Qom, Iran, to help them broker a ceasefire with al-Sadr. And that simply underlines the degree to which it's Iran which is the arbiter of politics in Shiite Iraq, not the United States, even though the United States is, on one hand, backing the pro-government parties and al-Maliki, Prime Minister al-Maliki, and, of course, the security forces, and, on the other hand, actively pursuing Sadr's Mahdi army. Nevertheless, it's Iran that holds the balance in the sense that they are the ones who the all of the Shiite factions ultimately have to go to in order to get the blessing for their policies.
And they're also the ones that the Sunni factions fear. So
that's right. And so
couldn't you argue that Iran right now is the major force for stability in the region?
I think that's correct. Iran, despite the fact that they are causing us troubles in Iraq, in the sense that they support the Sadr movement, the Sadrist movement, as well as al-Maliki, and therefore, you know, are supporting all the Shiite factions.
They're covering all their bets.
Nevertheless, their primary interest is indeed to have a stable Shiite government in Iraq. The problem is that they understand that Sadr is far more powerful, far more popular than the government itself, and therefore they can't simply say no to Sadr when he comes to them and says, help give me training and access to arms.
Now this raises a larger regional problem, though, doesn't it? Because you've got Sunni governments in Saudi Arabia, in Jordan, in Kuwait, in a variety of neighboring states that are scared to death of, you know, I mean, traditionally Saddam Hussein was the Sunni bulwark against spreading Shia influence in the region. I mean, all the way down to Qatar and Abu Dhabi and
right.
UAE.
Of course, that's a continuing problem in terms of regional politics. Saudi Arabia definitely is intervening in its own way financially and supporting Sunni insurgents, and you know, there's no doubt that's a problem that's going to continue. You know, my point about that, however, would be that if the United States is primarily concerned with trying to calm the waters, both between Sunnis and Shiites within Iraq and in the region between a Shiite Iraq and its Sunni Arab neighbors, then it would not be pursuing a policy of trying to destroy the Mahdi army. It would, in fact, be trying to bring Sadr together with the Sunnis. It's not well known, but Muqtada al-Sadr is the only Shiite leader who has tried to reach out to the Sunnis repeatedly since 2004. His opponents have been violently opposed to the Sunnis, to the point where, as soon as the Shiite government came into power in 2005, there immediately began to arise Shiite death squads. The personnel of those death squads were the Badr Brigade, the pro-Iranian, Iranian-supported Badr Brigade, which the United States was then using against the Sunnis.
Right.
So that's the background of this. And, in fact, I think what it tells us is the United States is really not so interested in that, in reconciliation between Sunnis and Shiites, as it is in having a government that will support the U.S. continuation of the U.S. occupation.
Right. It sounds like really what we want is, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. We want an authoritarian government that will simply stamp down instability in that.
I think the key point is we'd rather have a weak government that depends on us than a strong government that will reach out to Sunnis but wants the United States out.
Well, that's interesting. So how do we balance, and I'm sorry we only have a half a minute left here, how do we balance Saudi Arabia and the other Sunni states' concern about a Shia Iraq?
Well, I think the way in which that probably be best done is to have an arrangement with Sadr and the Sunni insurgents who are anti-Al-Qaeda, help them to get together to reach an agreement which is based on withdrawal of U.S. forces and a new government that would be primarily a Sadrist-oriented government that is based essentially on a common ground of nationalism rather than Shiite exclusivism.
But that's the opposite of what Petraeus, McCain, and Bush are talking about right now, is it not?
That's exactly right.
So all the more the tragedy. Gareth Porter, Interpress Service, commondreams.org. You can read his piece, Petraeus' Testimony to Defend False Proxy War Line. Gareth, thanks so much for dropping by today.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Great talking with you. 16 minutes past the hour.
Truth that multinational corporations don't want you to know. This is the Tom Hartman Program. Stephanie Miller at 6 a.m., Tom Hartman at 9, weekday mornings on 1480 KPHX.
A cat's memory is better when she has a physical encounter with an object or person versus a visual encounter. Now I know why Higgins has a good memory. He encounters everyone who comes to our house, encounters them sometimes a little roughly. If you're like me, you pay close attention to the ingredients in your pet's food. Purina1.com features an ingredient tool that lets you look up the ingredients in the Purina One formulas. It's a convenient way to find out once and for all what's in your cat food and why it's in there. And you can find it out right on the homepage. Many ingredients to choose from. Click on turkey, for example. You'll see a source of essential amino acids. It promotes strong muscles, helps support the immune system, and a list of health benefits goes on. There are ingredients to help minimize hairball formation. Ingredients to help indoor cats stay energetic. I know the ingredients in Purina One have made a difference in Higgins' health over the past 2 years because his coat is shinier and he has more energy. What's in your cat's food? Why not see what Purina One can do for your pet? Call 1-866-380-MEOW, 1-866-380-MEOW today to take the Purina One 30-day challenge, and you'll get a free 3.5-pound bag of the Purina One that's right for your kitten, adult, or senior cat.
How satisfying would it be for you to know that a construction job you helped manage is now a functioning building, home, or development? The construction industry needs qualified people to plan and coordinate various phases of construction projects. But to get to that level, you need to develop knowledge and skills, the kind that are taught in the construction management program at ITT Technical Institute. Call 1-800-338-4571. ITT Tech's bachelor degree program in construction management helps graduates prepare for career opportunities in a variety of entry-level positions in the construction management field. Classes meet just a few days a week to help you balance school with your life, and financial aid is available for those who qualify. Learn more about pursuing your degree in this high-demand field. Call now for a brochure on the construction management program at ITT Tech. Call 1-800-338-4571. 1-800-338-4571. That's 1-800-338-4571.
Joseph McCarthy had an enemies list, and so did Richard Nixon.
Now, according to the Phoenix New Times, so do County Attorney Andrew Thomas and Sheriff Joseph Aprile. This is Mark Manoil, chairman of the Maricopa County Democratic Party. If you're as concerned as we are about protecting individual rights and freedoms from politicians who abuse their authority, we encourage you to contribute to our Law and Order Restoration Fund. To learn more, visit our website at MaricopaDemocrat.com or call 602-298-0503. Paid for by the Maricopa County Democratic Party.
The information contained on your computer is worth more than the computer itself. Just imagine the cost of losing your family photos, your music, your financial information, and all the other documents you keep on your computer. Backing up your files is the only sure way to protect the information on your computer. With one call, 5to9 Computer Services will come to you to set up a backup scheme that fits your needs. Give 5to9 a call at 602-535-5699 or visit us online at aztechsupport.net.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare with your children being raised by someone else? With our free information, you can lead a less stressful life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was about to be laid off from a company that was going bankrupt. On top of that, I wanted my kids to have mommy care, not daycare. My first month, I made $1,000 part-time. After 90 days, I was home with my children. And for the past 7 years, I've been here for my three little girls. I love this business.
Go to freedom59.com. Get out of the rat race and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I was skeptical. However, I had to get out of corporate America. Both me and my wife were able to quit our jobs and now make over $10,000 a month from home.
Go to freedom59.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom59.com. Freedom59.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
Now more with Tom Hartman on the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX.
Fire it up, fire it up. We push off, we are rolling boulders, crashing down the mirrored stairways to a blast best mind canaries. Fire it up.
The hour, John McCain stumbling around trying to keep track of his Shiites from his Sunnis.
There are numerous threats to security in Iraq and the future of Iraq. Do you still view Al-Qaeda in Iraq as a major threat?
This is Petraeus.
It is still a major threat, though it is certainly not as major a threat as it was, say, 15 months ago.
Certainly not an obscure sect of the Shiites all around.
Oops.
Or Sunnis, no, or anybody else.
Or anybody else. Just toss them all in there, and we'll get them all. You know, it's just fine, yeah. Oh, man. And the troops, our soldiers, are saying, you know, enough already. We've had it. This is Martha Raddatz's report. She's with ABC, and she's talking about
deal from voters this campaign season. We haven't heard much from the men and women stationed in Iraq with
activity, making these endorsements by troops in Iraq all the more striking.
Who do you want for president?
Barack Obama.
And why?
Because I think he has our better interests in mind.
He wants to pull out of Iraq right away.
Yes.
So. You do too.
Well, that would be nice. I'd like to be home. Yes.
Probably Hillary.
And why?
Because I think that her husband did a good job as president.
Only moments before we talked to them, these troops had been listening to Vice President Cheney give a rousing speech, but he didn't change their political preference.
And that's the bottom line. It just didn't work. Just didn't work. Sorry, Cheney. Even the troops aren't buying your nonsense anymore. Today's Financial Times. Maliki. Here's the Prime Minister of Iraq, the head of the Iraqi government, saying solving the problem comes in no other way than dissolving the Mahdi army. Now, this is the guy who took on the Mahdi army being the basically Sadr's little private militia of maybe 2 or 3 million people, mostly guys with AK-47s. Maliki took them on in Basra, and he took them on in Baghdad. And John McCain went out and said, oh, look at that. Sadr and the Mahdi army, they sued for peace. They asked for peace. No, not exactly. What happened was Maliki
sent a representative to Iran, which is where Sadr's living right now, and the Iranians brokered a peace. So anyhow, Maliki says yesterday, dissolve the Mahdi army. And Baha al-Araji, a senior Sadrist lawmaker, rejects it. So this is a guy who's in the parliament, who's on Sadr's side. Keep in mind, Sadr controls about a third of the votes in the Iraqi parliament. And so then one of his guys says, no, the Mahdi army is not going to be dissolved. And then another senior aide, this again from the Financial Times this morning, another senior Sadr aide told Reuters that the cleric, that would be Sadr, would seek, who is, as I said, in Iran right now studying to become a mullah. This is the guy who controls the largest militia in Iraq. That the cleric would seek rulings from top Shia clerics, including Grand Ayatollah Ali Sistani, the most senior religious figure in Iraq, on whether to disband the militia. Now, let's keep in mind that the Grand Ayatollah Ali Sistani, al-Sistani, who is, you know, the main Shiite... Pope is the wrong phrase. You know, the structure, there's not a centralized structure in the Shia world, but there are local heads of the religion. So I'm trying to come up with a Protestant analogy. I can't come up with one. But in any case, so this guy is the head Shia religious figure in Iraq. Keep in mind that he spent most of his life in Iran because he had been banned by Saddam Hussein. So he's now back in Iraq. And Mahdi and the Mahdi army, whether or not it's going to be disbanded, the Sadr says he's going to go ask Ali al-Sistani what to do. And there's going to be, on Saturday, a cross-party meeting of politicians. Excuse me, let me back that up. Last Saturday, a cross-party meeting of politicians signed a petition, a resolution, calling for all the political parties to disband all their militias. Well, that's nice and that's hopeful, but that ain't going to happen. So here we have this horrible situation. The war we won. And this is why it's so insane that John McCain keeps using war rhetoric.
My fellow Americans, major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed.
And that's true. May 1st, 2003, the war in Iraq was over. We took down their government. We defeated their army. We took possession of their government buildings. We took possession of their industrial and economic infrastructure. We won the war. Then began the occupation. And occupations appropriately end with withdrawal. That's just the reasonable and appropriate thing. Wars are won or lost. We already won the war. Let's declare victory and come home. We're the irritant in the region. Let's bring the Arab League into this thing. Let's let other people in the region participate in sorting this out. Make it work. Without us. Because as long as we're there, we're the interlopers, we're the invaders, we're the guys with the target on our backs. 27 minutes past the hour.
You're tuned in to the Tom Hartman Program. Call Tom at 866-303-2270. Randy Rhodes at noon, Jeff Barrios at 3. Weekday afternoons on 1480 KPHX.
Check this out.
Hello there, how are you doing? Have you met my friend Bill yet?
Why is there some guy on the back of your bike winking at me?
Oh, that's my wingman. I saved so much money on motorcycle insurance by switching to Geico. I rented a wingman.
He has two tickets to paradise and needs a travel companion.
Hey, he is good.
Saving you money on your motorcycle insurance is our business. What you do with the money is your business.
Oh, yeah.
Geico Motorcycle. Let's ride.
Freedom of speech in America is under attack. Professors, teachers, and scientists are being silenced, denied tenure, even fired, expelled. No intelligence allowed. The movie that made front page news in the New York Times, that Rush Limbaugh says is powerful, Michael Medved says is important. The movie Big Science doesn't want you to see. Ben Stein's Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, in theaters only on Freedom Friday, April 18th. Check expelledthemovie.com. Rated PG, parental guidance suggested.
I'm Todd Davis, CEO of LifeLock, and what I'm about to tell you is true. My real Social Security number is 457-55-5462. You may think I'm crazy, but I know my identity is safe. At LifeLock, every member is covered by our $1 million total service guarantee.
Every 3 seconds, someone's identity is stolen. It's not just the money that's being stolen. It's your reputation, your credit, and your valuable time to fix the huge mess. At LifeLock, we aim to prevent identity theft before it happens, and if anything happens while you're a client of LifeLock, you'll be protected by our exclusive $1 million total service guarantee. With LifeLock, you'll also see a huge reduction in junk mail and pre-approved credit offers. Call 1-800-884-5203 right now and get 30 days of LifeLock for free. Protect yourself and your family from identity theft. And when you call right now, get 30 days free. Call now, 1-800-884-5203. That's 1-800-884-5203. Again, 1-800-884-5203.
This is the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX.
Warning about Iraq. I'm Rita Foley. The American commander of the Iraq War is warning lawmakers not to pull the troops out too quickly, lest we jeopardize recent gains there. The U.S. ambassador to Baghdad echoes the warning that we have to take our time.
What has been achieved is substantial, but it is also reversible.
This afternoon, though, Senator and presidential candidate Barack Obama will question the pair. And this morning, he told the Today Show what he wants to know.
How has this war made us safer? And at what point do we know that there's success so we can start bringing our troops home?
Pending home sales fell to the lowest reading on record in February. So what's that tell us? We asked economist Bob Bruska in New York.
People are probably taking their houses off the market because I don't think it's a case of sales having picked up.
8 teenagers in Florida are accused of beating a teenage girl unconscious so they could make a video to post on YouTube. Gas at $3.60 a gallon? Yep, that's the government's prediction for this June. I'm Rita Foley.
1480 KPHX, Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, Randy Rhodes, Jeff Farias, and Mike Malloy. Sticking a big old wad of truth in your ear every day. This is the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX.
Hey, Jeff Farias here. It's already starting to heat up, and I need my air conditioning checked. I called Parker & Sons. Parker won the BBB Torch Award for business ethics, so I know I can trust them. And right now, Parker offers an AC tune-up for only $69, a $30 savings. Great, trustworthy service at a fair price. How can you go wrong? Do what I did. Call Parker & Sons at 602-2-REPAIR. That's 602, the number 2, then R-E-P-A-I-R for Parker & Sons.
Sundays at 2 p.m., the voiceofarizona.com radio show is back with a new two-hour format, which means more time for your opinions to be heard. VoiceOfArizona.com is the only show where the discussion never ends because it continues online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So tell your friends that the VoiceOfArizona.com radio show is back on Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX.
Donald Rumsfeld said, and I quote, there is bulletproof evidence of links between Al-Qaeda and the government of President Saddam Hussein. Was that a lie, Mr. Rumsfeld, or was that manufactured somewhere else? Because all of my CIA colleagues disputed that, and so did the 9/11 Commission. And so I would like to ask you to be upfront with the American people. Why did you lie to get us into a war that was not necessary and that has caused these kinds of casualties? Yeah. Why?
Well, first of all, I haven't lied.
Meet, greet, and hear Patriot Ray McGovern this Friday, April 11th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at Grace Lutheran Church. A 27-year CIA veteran who's briefed 7 presidents, defied the Bush administration, and confronted Donald Rumsfeld's lies. Get your tickets today at SpeakTheTruthToPower.com. Seating is limited. Go to SpeakTheTruthToPower.com or call 480-650-0746.
You solemnly swear.
Does this oath become nothing more?
I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
Than a quaint, obsolete little exercise.
Well, to the best of my ability, sir. Protect and defend.
Spoken once every 4 years.
The Constitution of the United States.
To make us all feel like we're still a part of something.
So help me God.
The one. 2009. What'll it mean to you? Talk, listen, activate your passion. 1480 KPHX.
Randy Rhodes is next at noon, then Jeff Farias at 3 p.m. This is 1480 KPHX.
And boy, the piggies are at it again.
Have you seen the picket piggies in the starched white shed? You will find the picket piggies stirring up the dead. Always have to.
Oh, but they always have clean starched white shirts. Chicago has announced plans to privatize its second largest commercial airport, Midway Airport, through a lease being offered to private investors under a public-private partnership. This, by the way, from WorldNet Daily, Jerry Corsi writing this. Chicago's decision to be the first city in the United States to privatize a public airport follows the city's decision in 2004 to be the first to privatize a major highway. Back in October of 2004, Chicago took $1.83 billion for a nine-year lease from a Spanish company, Centra Concesiones de Infraestructuras de Transporte.sa, that is a city of Grupo Ferrovial and the Marcari Infrastructure Group, which is an Australian company that portrays itself as one of the largest private developers of toll roads in the world. So let me get this straight. Chicago signs a lease with a Spanish company who takes some of the profit from the toll road, and that Spanish company then passes through the rest of the profit to their stockholders in Australia. And so another giant transfer of cash from the good citizens of Illinois to the good citizens and stockholders of Spain and Australia. Now they're going to do it again with the Midway Airport. The piggies are at work. I'm telling you, they are absolutely at work. And in the meantime, speaking of piggies, time for our Berlusconi alert. It's been a while since we've had one of these. Yes, that's all Mr. Berlusconi ever cares about is O Sole Mio. See, here's this guy. He was a small-time crook and entrepreneur. You know, he started out, he bought a radio station, then he bought a TV station, then he bought another radio station, then he bought another TV station, then he bought a newspaper, then he bought another radio station, then he had enough radio stations, he bought a radio network, and then he bought a TV network, and then he bought the other TV network, and then he bought the other radio network, and then he bought some more papers, and pretty soon he owned 95% of all the media in Italy, and then what did he do? He ran for prime minister, and he won! So, Berlusconi, well, finally, after 6-8 years, however long he was prime minister, the people of Italy figured out the guy's a crook. I mean, he was indicted a couple of times, and he's out of power now. Except, he's back. Indeed. National elections are going to be held April 13th and 14th. That's coming up, that's, you know, this coming weekend. And Berlusconi's injecting himself into the whole thing, the whole deal with Alitalia. Big article about it in the Wall Street Journal. Using this, actually, Berlusconi's taking an anti-free trade position. And he's saying Alitalia should be owned by the Italian government. One of the few times I think I've actually agreed with Silvio Berlusconi. Our Berlusconi alert for the day. So, 866-303-2270, our telephone number, TomHartman.com, our website, although it's been up and down all morning. Apparently, we're getting some fairly heavy usage over there. If you're trying to get into our live chat room and you can't get in from TomHartman.com, try TomHartman.org, and there's a chat room link over on the left-hand side. That'll get you into our live chat room if you want to drop in and say hi. And, of course, there's AirAmerica.com as well. And 866-303-2270, our telephone number. And Jeff in Orange County, California, listening on K-Talk. Hey, Jeff, what's on your mind today?
Morning, Tom. Thanks very much for playing, after commenting on it, playing that excerpt of John McCain. He made himself, after the third attempt at it, technically, going forward, technically not wrong. If you throw all sex in,
right.
Technically, I guess he's not going to be wrong.
Right.
But what I actually called in about was the guest that you had on a little while ago, talking about the fact that Saudi Arabia is actually funding these Sunni sects. Well,
They've been doing fundraisers on TV to raise money for the Sunni insurgents who are killing Americans.
Aren't these Sunni sects Al-Qaeda in Iraq?
Yeah.
I mean, this is who they keep on using. You have a book out regarding the communications strategies, I'll say for lack of better terming. It is amazing to me how even the progressive media is kind of falling into their trap, using their own terminology. Back to, the Catholic Church, it was boy-buggering rather than pedophilia. The president in this country is a warmonger or is out using harsh interrogation techniques rather than torturing people or being a war criminal, and so on and so forth. So, again, this individual saying that they're funding Sunnis and just glossing over the fact that the Saudis are funding somebody. Well, the fact is the massive majority of the funding of these insurgents is coming from Saudi Arabia.
Well, actually, right now, the massive Jeff, your point is well taken, but right now, here's the ultimate irony. Right now, or as of a week ago, over the course of the last week or two, the Iraqi government has stopped passing through these payments to these various Sunni militias that we helped put together. But the major funder of the Sunni militias in Iraq, at least for the last 6 months, to support the so-called surge, has been us.
The escalation?
Yeah. The major funder of the Sunni forces has been us. It's been our tax dollars. We've been paying these guys $10 per person per week to be a member,
absolutely.
which is reasonably good money in Iraq, by the way.
Just like we used to pay warlords to give us terrorists, and that led us to arresting, I think it was a German citizen, and torturing him, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, and
so,
a Canadian.
I'd like to ask everybody if they really believe that our military is this inept, that they've made this many mistakes. How is it that Lindsey England was a low-level soldier, and she was, one of these ringleaders along with the other corporal?
Now,
this event took place at multiple sites across the globe. I didn't know that a low-level private had sway over the entire hemisphere.
That's right. And it also reflected, by the way, it reflected to techniques that are being used in U.S. prisons right now. The bottom line here is that this goes right to John Yoo, the professor from the University of California at Berkeley, who was the head lawyer advising Alberto Gonzalez when Alberto Gonzalez was George Bush's lawyer, when he was official counsel to the president. John Yoo was the guy who wrote the torture memos, and he wrote another memo that so far the Bush administration has been successful in keeping secret from Congress, that appears to suggest that George Bush can declare martial law and take away your and my rights on a whim. Dave in Indiana. Hey, Dave, what's up?
Yes, I wish somebody could almost get a word to Brock and have him ask when he's questioning the general, is to say, so McCain, you said to McCain earlier that Al-Qaeda is still a threat. Well, I said, well, was Al-Qaeda in Iraq prior to the invasion? And if he says yes, would say were.
Well, my guess is Petraeus would say I was not part of that process prior to the invasion. He's a post-invasion guy.
What?
Petraeus.
Oh, okay, but I don't. Well, I just say to let the people know that, prior to there's no, they said Al-Qaeda is a threat. But they were, the only part they were in Iraq was in the northern fly zone protected by the U.S. government. And it was some general, and I don't know, that's what I was going to ask you, if you remember that one general that came forward and said that there were several occasions prior to them attacking that they said, hey, we see these top Al-Qaeda leaders, one or two of them, and I could take them out. And President Bush kept saying no. Do you remember that?
I do. I don't have the details at the tip of my fingers though. But Dave, your point is well taken, and I doubt that they would be asking Petraeus that question. But we'll see what happens. Sean in Massachusetts. Hey, Sean, what's up?
Hi. How you doing? The point that I wanted to bring up is that when you get down to it, Al-Sadr is the person that we should be supporting in Iraq if we want to minimize is Iranian influence, because al-Sadr is actually an Iraqi nationalist, and according to the statements he's put out, wants to keep Iraq in one piece.
Yeah.
Whereas al-Maliki, who's supported by the Badr Brigade was actually trained by the Iranian Republican Guards.
No, the Badr Brigade is the private militia of Sadr. It's a Shia
militia. Sadr's I work third shift, so I'm a little bit tired right now. But
yeah.
Unless I've
got this really wrong, and I don't think I do,
right.
The Badr Brigade is Sadr's militia, and the army. The problem, you know, the army is also Shia, and that's under Maliki.
The Badr Brigade is actually. I can't think of. I'm just completely missing the name of Sadr's militia right now, but it's not the Badr Brigade.
Mm.
The Badr Brigade is actually the one that's backing al-Maliki and controls the military.
Mm.
And the Badr Brigade was founded and trained in Iran while Saddam Hussein was in power. It's on the tip of my tongue.
Okay, Sean, there seems to be some daylight between you and me on this, and we'll figure it out over the next 2.5 minutes or so. Stick around. 45 minutes past the hour is the Tom Hartman Program.
Listening to Tom Hartman, defending America from the weapons of mass deception.
Mike Malloy at 6 p.m., Rachel Maddow at 9, weeknights on 1480 KPHX.
I'm Todd Davis, CEO of LifeLock, and what I'm about to tell you is true. My real Social Security number is 457-55-5462. You may think I'm crazy, but I know my identity is safe. At LifeLock, every member is covered by our $1 million total service guarantee.
Every 3 seconds, someone's identity is stolen. It's not just the money that's being stolen. It's your reputation, your credit, and your valuable time to fix the huge mess. At LifeLock, we aim to prevent identity theft before it happens, and if anything happens while you're a client of LifeLock, you'll be protected by our exclusive $1 million total service guarantee. With LifeLock, you'll also see a huge reduction in junk mail and pre-approved credit offers. Call 1-800-884-5203 right now and get 30 days of LifeLock for free. Protect yourself and your family from identity theft. And when you call right now, get 30 days free. Call now, 1-800-884-5203. That's 1-800-884-5203. Again, 1-800-884-5203.
Hi, I'm Jim Allen with Arizona Boating and Water Sports News Magazine. Arizona Boating and Water Sports Magazine celebrates the activities we're free to enjoy in Arizona's amazing outdoors. Activities like boating, fishing, camping, RVing, and every kind of water sports under the sun. However, I'm concerned our freedom to enjoy these things is in jeopardy. We're facing the most critical time in our history when apathy and failure to take action could mean the end of our country as we know it. Please urge those you meet each day to become knowledgeable about the state of our country. As an advertiser at KPHX, I'm proud to support Progressive Talk, and I'm proud local radio can support and grow my business. After all, a rising tide raises all boats. I recommend 1480 KPHX to any business looking to reach a local, educated, and motivated audience.
This is Kim Macias, sales manager at 1480 KPHX. To turn the volume up on your business, call 602-257-1351.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, you'll drive 100-plus hours a year just back and forth to work. It's a lot of opportunities for your vehicle to break down. Change your odds. Get your car serviced regularly. Frequent oil changes are a must. Fluids need to be full. Keep your tires properly inflated. Community Tire is the local, friendly place to service your car, truck, or SUV, and we'll keep you safe on the road. Hi, this is Howard Fleischman, owner of Community Tire and Auto Service Specialists. We service all vehicles from domestic to import. With several friendly locations to serve you, Now through June 15th, mention this ad and receive our basic lube oil filter, plus free tire rotation and safety inspection for $1,480. Log on to CommunityTireAZ.com, that's CommunityTireAZ.com, to find the location closest to you. Or you can call our corporate office at 602-569-4930.
You, the listeners of 1480 KPHX, are some of the most intelligent, informed, and stylish talk radio listeners in the nation. Hi, I'm Tom Hartman, and if you hadn't noticed, summer's just around the corner. Now's the time to seal your floors, patios, and decks from the damaging rays of the sun and desert environment. More often than not, sealants disintegrate and leave surfaces exposed to damage, and most sealing products are composed of ingredients that are not earth-friendly. Well, Monolithic Finishes is in the vanguard of new technology. Monolithic Finishes is committed to making the smallest possible footprint on the planet, using only natural, environmentally gentle sealants and finishes that don't sacrifice quality and durability. What about style? This technology allows you to see levels of depth, texture, and color that you simply won't see with other flooring finishes. Discover a multi-spectrum glow on every type of material. So for beautiful flooring that makes a world of difference, call Monolithic Finishes today at 505-907-8891. That's 505-907-8891. At Monolithic Finishes, your floor is their canvas. For more information, call 505-907-8891.
Back to the Tom Hartman Program, live on the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX.
Okay, so I screwed this up as badly as John McCain. What can I say? It's the Mahdi Army that I was thinking of, which is working, which is Sadr's army. And Badr, because Badr sounds like Sadr, whatever. But the Badr Brigade is, historically, it existed for at least 20 years in Iran during the rule of Saddam Hussein and, you know, is now part of, in large part, aligned with the, it's Shia, aligned with the Shia government of Iraq. And, in fact, Steve in New York City's, hang on just a second, Steve just got put on hold here, I believe has the whole story here. And so this is, let me see if I can put Steve on the air, I can't. So this is the situation. And hey, Steve, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Good.
Good. I heard you correct the Badr Sadr stuff.
Yeah.
Very good.
My error, and I apologize.
You got you're very good about that, and that's one of the reasons I love to listen to you. One other thing I wanted to say that I think gets lost in the fray is the fact not just the Sunni Shia dichotomy, but the fact that Iran is Persian; they're not Arab, and I think that's something that's lost in a lot of Americans. And there's a real distinct and rather acrimonious history between the Persians and the Arabs.
Oh, and both considers themselves the superior of the other.
Right.
I mean, literally racially superior.
Right, and I think that too often gets lost on simpletons like John McCain. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Well, you understand what I'm saying.
Having just screwed up the Badr Brigade, I'm not in a position to criticize John McCain for at least 5 minutes.
But you know what? The difference between you is that you don't have Joe Lieberman whispering in your ear. You actually look it up.
Yeah.
So, but again, I think that's something that's important to understand, that the Persian-Arab thing needs to be brought into the mix, too.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Steve. I appreciate the call and the point. Michael in Seattle. Hey, Michael, you wanted to get in on this, too?
Yeah, I did actually. You made the correction that I initiated in my call, but what I wanted to talk about was the John Yoo memo. This is yet again another precedence, a long line of many by this administration, where we are just dismantling the Constitution, ignoring international law, and the Congress has done nothing about this yet again, and I'm concerned.
Well, they have issued subpoenas. The subpoenas have been ignored. Then Congress issued a contempt of Congress citation, and guess who has to enforce the contempt of Congress citation?
The Justice Department.
Right, and who does the Justice Department work for?
The administration.
The president. It's part of the executive branch, and that's where the problem is right now. And Congress, unless they want to have the sergeant at arms of the House of Representatives or the Senate get on a plane and fly down to Texas, and it's frankly, I think it's doubtful that Texas would extradite Harriet Myers or Karl Rove to bring them back to testify, you know, before Congress. They do have a jail in the basement of the U.S. Capitol building,
cell. But my concern is, that being said, is Congress just going to throw up their hands and say, oh, we can't do anything about this? I mean, obviously there's lots of important business that needs to be dealt with. We have issue upon issue upon issue.
Well, they've done everything they have the legal authority to do. Now they have to sue the Department of Justice to enforce the law, and that is probably going to go to the Supreme Court. I mean, I think that, frankly, they should be doing more in the court of public opinion. I would like to see, you know, members of Congress out there, just like they were when they tried to impeach Bill Clinton, every single day going in front of the cameras saying, I'm horrified by this behavior, that kind of thing.
Absolutely, but I don't see that happening. And that's one aspect in which they could be doing more. I suppose the only shimmer of hope that I see in terms of holding any of these guys accountable is when the new administration takes effect. I would be astounded if John McCain were to get anywhere near the White House by this time next year, but my gosh,
I would not count it out.
Yeah, that's terrifying to think. But my only hope would be that the next administration would be able to, in turn prosecute these guys once they're out of office. I mean, is that our only hope that's left? I mean,
it is, and this is where the terrible precedent was set when Gerry Ford pardoned Richard Nixon. And then George Bush Sr. stopped the investigations into the whole Iran-Contra scandal of the Reagan administration and pardoned and Reagan on the way out pardoned, Caspar Weinberger and all those guys that were involved with Iran-Contra. And then Bush Sr. pardoned even more of them, and he stopped the investigations. But there were still some investigations ongoing when Bush Sr. left office into Iran-Contra, and Bill Clinton stopped those investigations.
And Clinton stopped, absolutely.
And so what we have here is a four or five president sequential serial precedent of saying, well, whatever the guy before me did, we're just going to let it pass in the hopes that anything that I do, the people will let that pass. I mean, I think that that's the rationale, frankly. I think every president is afraid that they're going to get their tail caught in the door on the way out, and they don't want to get stuck, and so they're pardoning their predecessors, and it's a terrible precedent that has to stop. Obviously, Bush is going to pardon as many people as he can on the way out, but Congress, in my opinion, needs to continue the investigations. Michael, I'm just spot on, solidly with you there. Gene in San Francisco, we just have a minute here, Gene, before we've got to wrap up this hour.
Oh, the Bush administration uses words only for their propaganda value, Tom, not for the words actual definitions in the international society based on laws. I'm specifically leading up to the legal definition of the word war.
Versus occupation.
Yeah. Bush administration and Bush backers continue to use the word war in an attempt to add legitimacy to the illegal Iraq invasion and the use of torture and the unending funding that they're
getting from
occupation.
And the ongoing occupation. And the Bush administration are not the only ones. The media is doing it. The corporate media all across America, because it's very profitable. Everybody, hyping up a war, having the graphics, having the swoosh noises and everything. Oh, it's a march to war. Is the war going to be won? Is the war going to be lost? And I'm sorry, Gene, we're out of time. It's just, tyranny of the clock here. Coming up next, Regina Herzlinger, a senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute's Center for Medical Progress, is going to tell us why John McCain's, get this seriously, John McCain's medical policies, his health care program is so great. Stick around.
The Tom Hartman Program, taking back the mainstream media, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week.
Hi, Tom Hartman here, and now I want to talk to you about gold. Gold is real money, and it's been real money for over 5,000 years. As you know, gold will still be real money when the dollar is just a footnote in history. That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire gold and silver coins through ITM Trading. You should call ITM, too. 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. There may be rumors of a strong dollar policy or rallies that send the dollar higher for a short time, but trust me, the dollar's future is already baked into the cake. The USA has gone from a creditor nation in the 70s to the largest debtor nation the world has ever known. That's why some nations don't even want to take the American dollar today. So I hope you're listening when I tell you that you should call my friends at ITM Trading and get some gold today. Your long-term financial future may depend on it. Talk to the experts at ITM Trading. They'll answer your questions and send you a free information packet about owning gold to help you get started. It's really simple. Call and talk to their experts at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
Being called a loser means you may be our winner. And being our winner dumps $1,000 in your pocket. Log on to 365dietchallenge.com and take the free diet challenge. We're looking for the fittest, fastest weight loss story. If we feature yours, you'll win $1,000 in cash and your picture featured on our website. Visit 365freedietchallenge.com today to register for your sample package of Impact Diet products and enter to win $1,000. Your free sample package from 365freedietchallenge.com also comes with personal weight loss coaching to help you meet your diet goals. Pay only a shipping and handling charge to have your free samples rushed out. Visit 365freedietchallenge.com and you could be telling all your friends, I'm a winner. Again, this offer is good for this month only. Lose weight and enter to be our $1,000 winner and featured on our website. Visit 365freedietchallenge.com. That's 365freedietchallenge.com. Shipping and handling fees may apply.
This is the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
AP Radio News. I'm Diane Kepley. Despite calls for American forces to be pulled out of Iraq, the top U.S. commander from the combat zone says it's not time for a rapid withdrawal of forces. General David Petraeus is telling the Senate Armed Services Committee today that there should be a pause in troop reductions once the U.S. force is down to pre-surge levels this summer.
This approach does not allow establishment of a set withdrawal timetable. However, it does provide the flexibility those of us on the ground need to preserve the still fragile security gains our troopers have fought so hard and sacrificed so much to achieve.
One of the reasons the Bush administration had given for continuing the war in Iraq is to keep America safe from terrorists. Today, America's ambassador to Iraq, Ryan Crocker, was asked whether the U.S. is actually safer because of the war.
Al-Qaeda is our mortal and strategic enemy. So to the extent that Al-Qaeda's capacities have been lessened in Iraq, and they have been significantly lessened, I do believe that makes America safer.
In Iraq, the government is guarding against another possible surge in violence. A ban is being placed on unauthorized vehicles in Baghdad from 5 tomorrow morning to midnight. It is the fifth anniversary of the city's capture by U.S. troops. Meanwhile, Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr is threatening to lift a 7-month ceasefire by his militia if the Iraqi government does not halt attacks on his followers or set a timetable for U.S. withdrawal. Tight security in San Francisco a day ahead of tomorrow's planned Olympic torch relay. The flame arrived early this morning. It's being held in a secret location. David Perry is a spokesman for the city's torch relay committee.
I think those of us who are working to make the torch run in San Francisco something that all San Franciscans and the United States and North America and the world can be proud of, we're all concerned when we see anything that might lead to violence that would hurt any citizens.
Groups protesting China's recent crackdown in Tibet and its support for Sudan are expected to dog the relay tomorrow. This is AP Radio News. Some of the 400 children taken from a polygamous compound in Texas apparently had been harmed or were in imminent danger of harm. Officials are interviewing the women and children who were taken to a shelter. An insurance company is not obligated to pay for water damage from the failure of levees in the New Orleans area after Hurricane Katrina. The ruling by the Louisiana Supreme Court reverses a state appeals court decision. Cold water is being thrown on rumors about Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice possibly becoming John McCain's running mate. By Rice herself.
I'm going back to Stanford or back to California, west of the Mississippi. Very much look forward to watching this campaign and voting as a voter.
Rice once served as provost and taught as a professor at Stanford University. We'll talk about your beer binge. Three men stole about $24,000 worth of beer from a trucking company south of Milwaukee. Police are now looking for a white semi-trailer filled with the suds. I'm Diane Kepley, AP Radio.
Brought to you by runningoutofair.com. Our air is polluted, and we need your help. Make the clean air commitment now by pointing your browser to runningoutofair.com.
1480 KPHX, Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, Randy Rhodes, Jeff Farias, and Mike Malloy. It's talk radio for the rest of us. The
This is the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX.
Replacing just one light bulb with a compact fluorescent light bulb will save 150 pounds of carbon dioxide per year. Renewal by Anderson, the only window company certified by Green Seal, is having a light bulb swap. Join me in bringing down your old light bulbs to Renewal by Anderson and swapping them for new energy-efficient light bulbs free of charge while supplies last, limit 4 per household. The swap is next Saturday, April 19th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Visit 1480kphx.com for more information on the swap or call 480-967-5557.
Pick up Fashion Fighter, the book, out now on paperback at iUniverse.com.
Kylie's just met her biological father for the first time and discovers he's lost his legs in war in Iraq. She has a million questions about soldiers, war, death, and what she can do about it. Rallying her fellow students, Kylie starts a campaign to educate others about the war. She begins to decipher a sense of the world around her and what her own growing beliefs are as she discovers not everyone agrees with her. In fact, her new interest causes her another battle in her own home. Readers will be rooting as Kylie valiantly stands up for what she knows in her heart to be right.
Order your copy of Fashion Fighter today at iUniverse.com. This work of juvenile fiction includes a vocabulary and discussion section for parents and educators. Address the tough issues of war, peace, stepfamilies, and more with a child or teen you love. Fashion Fighter, the book at iUniverse.com.
Hey Phoenix, Tom Hartman here. Have you visited the Art of Framing yet? They're owned by a local artist who cares as much for your art as they do for the environment. With every framing purchase, the Art of Framing contributes to the Conservation Fund to offset your carbon footprint. Frame your favorite photos, art, or keepsakes while keeping focus on the big picture. Stop into the Art of Framing on the northwest corner of Central and Camelback. That's the Art of Framing on the northwest corner of Central and Camelback.
The Mike Malloy Show.
This virulent strain of anti-Americanism and Afro-racism. Woo! Do you like that? Son of a... I've never seen that one before, Pat. Afro-racism. A new term. Stand up, everybody, and salute it. Afro-racism.
The Mike Malloy Show. Weeknights from 6 to 9 on the Valley's Progressive Talk. 1480 KPHX.
This is the Tom Hartman Program, live and exclusively on the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX.
The Tom Hartman Program. Welcome to the vast, radical, middle conspiracy. Accept no imitations. Tom Hartman.
So as the debates over Iraq goes on, right now in the hearings before the United States Senate, John McCain sort of grabbing the stage, as it were, perhaps inadvertently and perhaps unfortunately, conflating Shia and Sunni and mixing it all up. But it raises, you know, questions, broadly speaking, about John McCain, a whole variety of John McCain's policies, including his health care policy. This is, you know, so there's some... you know, very interesting discussion on this topic. In particular, you know, what exactly is John McCain proposing as a health care policy, and what would work? What is the conservative worldview on this thing? Regina Hertzlinger is a senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute's Center for Medical Progress, manhattan-institute.org. Turning intellect into influence is their website. And Regina, welcome to the program.
So nice to be here.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you're pleased to be here. The Elizabeth Edwards came out a couple of days ago and pointed out that at least as far as we know about John McCain's health care program, that under his program, she and John McCain, as people who have been diagnosed with cancer, if they were to change insurance providers, would no longer be able to get coverage for the very cancers that they have confronted. And when McCain was asked about requiring insurance companies to provide coverage to people with pre-existing conditions, he said, and I quote, "That would be mandating what the free enterprise system does," end quote. And he's opposed to that.
Well, Ms. Edwards slightly twisted the situation. if she or John McCain were to move from one employer that offers health insurance to another employer that offers health insurance, their policies would very likely include treatment for cancer. There are virtually no health insurance policies that neglect coverage for that. But if she were to move from being insured to being uninsured, well, then she would be in the same situation as every other uninsured person in the United States, and that is she would be forced to get the best value for the money. So, really, I don't know what she's talking about.
Well, I think what she's saying and what I'm saying and my concern here with this whole idea that the market should be defining this stuff is that health care is so expensive and literally has to do with our ability to survive. I think it falls right smack dab in the middle of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness as outlined in the Declaration of Independence and the general welfare as outlined in the preamble to the Constitution. And therefore, in my opinion, you know, speaking as a good liberal here, the insurer of last resort, and perhaps the insurer of first resort, simply for efficiency purposes, should be the federal government, or at least state governments.
All right. That's
tell me what I'm missing here. I mean, why should any private insurance company be able to do whatever they want simply because that's, as to quote John McCain, you know, to do anything other than that would be mandating what the free enterprise system does, which is socialism, and that's a terrible thing.
Well, one issue is, should we have universal coverage in the United States? In other words, should everybody have to buy a health insurance policy? And if they cannot afford it, should the rest of us chip in for them? I would say yes, so would most people. A different issue is the kind of policy that Edwards and his very bright wife proposed, which is that the whole health insurance system be run by the federal government. That would be a disaster. And the reason it would be a disaster is you would have no choice of value for the money. You would be taxed to provide for a health insurance policy that may not meet your particular needs or may overmeet your needs.
Well, I've discussed this with John Edwards on this program a couple of times, and his policy is, his program is pretty much what Hillary Clinton's program is right now, and Barack Obama's is sort of a watered-down version of it slightly. But ultimately, I suspect either one of them, whoever is the Democratic nominee, is going to end up going back to probably what is John Edwards' program. I think that's the one that has the greatest support among Democrats. And it does not prevent private insurance companies from existing in the marketplace. It simply allows any American to buy into Medicare. Medicare is operated at a 2 or 3% overhead. It's a not-for-profit governmental agency. Its first goal is to actually deliver health care rather than to generate profits for its stockholders, whereas all of the private insurers, their first goal is to generate profits for their stockholders, and their second goal is to deliver health care. And so they operate with overhead running anywhere from 15 to 30%.
And
therefore,
Medicare,
they're less efficient.
It's a great program as long as you are not among the next generation of people who be forced to pay for it. For every $8 spent by Medicare recipients, one is paid by them. $7 are paid by taxes.
Well, that's because the Medicare program right now is only available, by and large, to people who are retired. You're absolutely right. But if every American was able to buy into Medicare, if all Americans were covered by Medicare, that would not be the case. You would have the present generation paying for the present generation.
Perhaps.
I mean, that's how it works in every other industrialized country in the world.
We would see how it would work.
Well, we have two models in the United States. We have socialized medicine, which is called the Veterans Administration, which is where the government actually owns the hospitals and pays the salaries of the doctors. And then we have single-payer health care in the United States, which is called Medicare, which is where the government does not own the hospitals and does not pay the salaries of the doctors. It simply reimburses costs.
So what is the problem with Medicare, and why not expand it to the whole country?
Well, that's my question.
Yes, I'm trying to answer that question.
Okay.
The problem is that how would Medicare control costs? Some people say that the way it would control costs is because of its efficiency. But the problem with our healthcare system is that the service system is tremendously inefficient, and it is the bulk of costs in our healthcare and our $2 trillion system. So is the federal government going to make hospitals, doctors, nursing homes more efficient? I don't think so. The only thing that will make them more efficient is if new entrepreneurs come into the system, create better, cheaper ways of delivering health care.
But if Medicare is simply paying the bills, they're not telling people how to run their business. They're simply saying, okay, we're paying the bills. Now, whoever can provide this service at the best price, that's where we're going to go. I mean, the contradiction to that right now is part D. No, I agree. Billy Towson and the Republicans screwed up Medicare terribly by saying that it can't negotiate with the drug companies, for example, for pharmaceuticals. They should be in jail for that.
That's the problem with Medicare. The problem with Medicare is it sets prices by procedure. So if you want to deliver a new kind of health care, for example, if you want to have a bundle of care for people who have bad backs or who have diabetes, Medicare won't pay you. It doesn't have a code for it. Furthermore, because Medicare administers prices, it sometimes pays too much and induces all kinds of unnecessary investment, cardiovascular, or it pays too little, like emergency care or burn centers, where there's not enough capacity because Medicare pays too little.
No, I understand that there are some very substantial problems with the system. Don't you think, though, Regina Hertzlinger, that if all of us were covered by Medicare, then and the system was not operating well or efficiently, that we would be raising so much hell with our elected officials that they would demand that it be fixed?
No, I think that I would rather have the power of the pocketbook, not the
power. Have you ever tried to talk to the CEO of a health insurance company?
I beg your pardon?
Have you ever tried to petition the CEO of a health insurance company?
Well, you know, the problem with health insurance is I don't buy it. My employer buys it on my behalf. So the health insurance company is much more responsive to my employer than to me. If you had universal coverage where consumers buy the health insurance, just like they buy their cars, boy, would they be responsive. Look what happened to General Motors and to Ford because they didn't pay attention to their customers.
Right, and I'm suggesting that in a competitive environment where Medicare is competing with private health insurance companies, Medicare will ultimately beat them, and they will have to be responsive to us. And I get it that you're saying that's not the case. People can read all about it over at your website, manhattan-institute.org. Regina Hertzlinger, thank you for coming on.
You're welcome.
Good speaking to you. 16 minutes past.
Talk radio for the rest of us. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, Randy Rhodes, Jeff Farias, and Mike Malloy. Weekdays on 1480 KPHX.
Let's clear this up right now. Changing your own oil is easy. Go to Advance Auto Parts, where Castrol GTX conventional motor oil is on sale for $7.98 a gallon. It's less than $2 a quart. Buy it. The sale ends April 26. Drive home. Slide under your car. Turn a bolt, drain some oil, stick on a filter, put in the plug, pour in the Castrol GTX motor oil that you just saved $4 on at Advance. Done. Slide, turn, drain, plug, pour. Capiche? Whatever you're working on, Advance will help you keep the wheels turning. Advance Auto Parts. Keep the wheels turning.
Freedom of speech in America is under attack. Professors, teachers, and scientists are being silenced, denied tenure, even fired, expelled. No intelligence allowed. The movie that made front page news in the New York Times, that Rush Limbaugh says is powerful, Michael Medved says is important. The movie Big Science doesn't want you to see. Ben Stein's Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, in theaters only on Freedom Friday, April 18th. Check expellthemovie.com. Rated PG, parental guidance suggested.
If you keep smoking, you're gonna die. If you think it's too hard to stop, then the next 60 seconds could save your life.
Hello?
Jen, it's David.
What's wrong?
I have some bad news.
It's Dad. He has lung cancer, Jen.
Don't let this happen to your family. Final Smoke has helped tens of thousands of people quit smoking and has a 92% customer satisfaction rating in an independent study of all natural quit smoking products. Best of all, we're so confident that you will quit smoking that if you don't quit for any reason, Final Smoke is absolutely free.
I've been smoking a carton of cigarettes per week as long as I can remember. The very first day I started the system, I quit.
This is Shelly, and my cravings have decreased. I'm calmer, less irritable, and I've been smoke-free for a month now.
No stress, no jitters, and no more money wasted on cigarettes.
Remember, if you don't quit smoking, Final Smoke is absolutely free. Call 1-888-449-7392. That's 1-888-449-7392. Call for your Final Smoke now. 1-888-449-7392. Again, 1-888-449-7392.
Hi, I'm Lee Strickman, enrolled agent, tax professional, and president of Accurately Done Financial Services, Inc. As a supporter of 1480, I have advertised on the station for three tax seasons. From my exposure on the station, my practice has grown considerably. The return on my investment has been over 150%. It gives me a good feeling to know that I can help the only liberal talk station in Arizona and still improve my bottom line. It is also great to have people use the services that my practice offers and have the ability to share the same ideologies. Give me a call at 623-561-6172.
Hi, this is Kim Macias, General Sales Manager with 1480 KPHX. For the best return on your advertising, click on Advertise at 1480 KPHX.
Hi, this is Dr. Mark Espinoza with Central Dental Care, home of the pain-free smile makeover. If you're looking for a painless dentist, call me at 602-943-7297. But if you'd like a painless way to grow your business, I have to tell you how impressed I've been with the return on my marketing investment since advertising on 1480 KPHX. Traffic to my dental practice has only increased since advertising on 1480 KPHX.
This is Mari Connor with 1480 KPHX. To learn more, click on the advertising link at 1480kphx.com.
Local economies are strong economies. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. Local media connects local business with local customers. While corporate radio companies have turned their backs on local communities, 1480 KPHX proudly specializes in providing effective advertising to Valley-owned businesses. Keep Progressive Talk going strong and keep more of your dollars right here in town. Visit the sponsor directory at 1480kphx.com.
The Randy Rhoads Show, weekdays from noon to 3 on 1480 KPHX.
You've got a headache. Now I've got some strange disease. Don't worry about it. This pill will set your mind at ease. It's called Protinitorivox. It's made by Squab Merle Co. It's a life-enhancing miracle. But there are some things you should know.
It may cause agitation, palpitations, excessive salivation, constipation, male lactation, rust-colored urination, hallucinations, bad vibrations, mild electric shock sensations. But it's worth it for the drugs I need. My disease may not be fatal, but I can ease my fears by taking two $12 pills each day for 50 years. They've spent billions to convince me, so now I realize Progenitorivox beats diet and exercise.
Good old Provenitorivox!
At least for now I do.
Welcome back. I mean, this is isn't it absolutely insane that the congressman from, I believe he was from Louisiana, Billy Towson, gets put into the health care bill, into Part D of Medicare, with nary a peep from the Republicans who controlled the House and Senate. A lot of protests from the Democrats, but nary a peep from the Republicans that it is against the law for Medicare to negotiate with drug companies to get the lowest prices for their drugs, that they have to pay full retail. Every time a Medicare patient goes to the pharmacy, they have to pay full retail. That Medicare, even though they have millions and millions of people for whom they are paying their prescription drug costs, they cannot negotiate. Now, that's an example of government screwing things up. That's an example of government not being responsive to the people. And I would submit to you that the only reason that Billy Towson was able to get away with that and then retire early from the House of Representatives so that he could take a multi-million-dollar salary as the head of pharma, which is the lobbying group for the big drug industries. The only reason he was able to get away with that is because the people who are on Medicare are a minority in the United States. They are not the majority. It wasn't all of us who were watching this. It wasn't all of us who were going, oh, my God, how is that going to affect me? It wasn't all. It was mostly the elderly. And it was, in many cases, the elderly who were totally baffled and confused by it and were not paying attention to what was going on. John McCain, his solution, he says, we can't mandate what the free enterprise system does. In other words, we can't tell health insurance companies, for example, that they have to cover pre-existing conditions. So what's he going to do? Well, he has proposed, and again, quoting John McCain, a special provision including additional trust funds for Medicaid payments. Now, Medicaid are the payments. Medicare is the federal program. Medicaid are the programs that are partially paid for by the federal government, about 50-50, depending on the state. And that money then goes to the states. The states match those funds, and they have their own state programs. And typically they're for children and for low-income children, although sometimes also for low-income adults. And so McCain says, let's put some money into that for people with pre-existing conditions. Well, increasingly in America, who doesn't have a pre-existing condition? I mean, we're going to end up with a system here that is even more broken than the system we have. So then he comes along and he says, okay, well, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to give a $5,000 tax credit to everybody. So you get $5,000 back on your taxes that you pay. You get a $5,000 check from the government if you file an income tax return, even if you didn't pay any income taxes, and you can use that to buy health insurance. But right now, the cost of health insurance, the average cost of health insurance in the United States, is around $12,000 a year. So, you know, this is sort of like the school voucher thing. Oh, well, let's give a school voucher to everybody of $2,000. Well, the average cost of a public education is between $5,000 and $6,000 a year. So even a relatively inexpensive private school is $5,000 a year if you want to send your kid to a private school for you know, the elementary grades and pre-college grades, primary schools. And so what does that $2,000 voucher do? What it does is it subsidizes the very wealthy and the upper middle class. It gives them a subsidy for sending their kids to private schools, which is, by the way, also taking the kids who are the most likely to succeed in private schools because they come from families who have all the advantages. They taking those kids out of the public school system, creating a ghetto in the public school system. McCain wants to do the same thing with our health care system, create a giant ghetto with our health care system, turn Medicaid and Medicare into basically programs that are only for the poor, that only because they're dealing largely with poor and very sick populations, the populations that the health insurance companies don't want to take because they're not the profitable populations. The health insurance companies will take, you know, they'll skim the cream off everything else. Then you're going to have, again, you know, 5 years, 10 years down the road, you're going to have the Republicans saying, oh, look at this. This exact same thing they're saying about public schools. Look at this. It's broken. We should do away with it. Rather than from the very beginning engineering it so that over the long term it will work. This goes right back to the privatization, the alert we did in the last hour about the selling off, how Chicago is talking about selling off Midway Airport. You privatize the roads? Yeah, sell them to a Spanish company, sell them to an Australian company. Let's sell the airport to a, you know what, Chinese company? Ship all the profits out of the United States. No, we don't need any profits here in the United States. After all, it's, you know, we're selling off our country. We're having a fire sale, right? I'm telling you, 28 years of Reaganomics, almost 30 years of Reaganomics, is turning the United States into a third world country. Now they want to do it with our health care system.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. Call Tom at 866-303-2270.
The Valley's Progressive Talk, streaming live at 1480kphx.com.
Do you want a brand new brand name computer?
Sure, but you can't afford it, right?
You can't afford to miss this opportunity. You can get a brand new brand name computer for just $29.99 a week.
Plus, order right now and get a free GPS unit, a color printer, an MP3 player, a digital camera, and upgraded software free.
And you'll be able to improve your credit all at the same time because we report to the major bureaus.
Your approval is guaranteed.
All you need is a checking or savings account. Join the tens of thousands who've already been approved for a new Dell or HP computer.
All it takes is a bank account and $29.99 a week.
Call now, 1-800-769-1982. 1-800-769-1982. Get a brand new, brand name computer and improve your credit. Call 1-800-769-1982.
1-800-769-1982.
Hi, Tom Hartman here, and now I want to talk to you about gold. Gold is real money, and it's been real money for over 5,000 years. As you know, gold will still be real money when the dollar is just a footnote in history. That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire gold and silver coins through ITM Trading. You should call ITM, too. 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. There may be rumors of a strong dollar policy or rallies that send the dollar higher for a short time, but trust me, the dollar's future is already baked into the cake. The USA has gone from a creditor nation in the 70s to the largest debtor nation the world has ever known. That's why some nations don't even want to take the American dollar today. So I hope you're listening when I tell you that you should call my friends at ITM Trading and get some gold today. Your long-term financial future may depend on it. Talk to the experts at ITM Trading. They'll answer your questions and send you a free information packet about owning gold to help you get started. It's really simple. Call and talk to their experts at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
This is the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX.
Congress and Iraq. I'm Tim McGuire. Senator Hillary Clinton says the Iraqi government has not lived up to its part of the bargain with the U.S.
And for the past 5 years, we have continually heard from the administration that things are getting better, that we're about to turn a corner, that there is finally a resolution in sight. Yet each time, Iraqi leaders fail to deliver.
General David Petraeus told the Senate Armed Services Committee he recommends a pause after the troops sent in for the surge are withdrawn this summer. Condoleezza Rice says she'll head west when her time as Secretary of State is over.
I'm going back to Stanford or back to California, west of the Mississippi.
Rice says she has no plans to be John McCain's running mate. Energy Department says gas could get as high as $4 a gallon this summer.
Today, the national average for self-serve regular is $3.31 a gallon.
Troy Green of AAA says the record price will reduce demand as people stay close to home over the summer. And on Wall Street, the Dow is down 23. I'm Tim McGuire.
1480 KPHX. Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, Randy Rhodes, Jeff Farias, and Mike Malloy. Forget everything you thought you knew about talk radio. This is the Valley's Progression Talk, 1480 KPHX.
Tired of cable rates going up and up? Then you need to make the switch to Dish Network. Get more of your favorite channels in pure digital quality for less money than cable. And if you switch now, my friends at My Dish Now will give you a genuine Apple iPod. Plus, you'll get a free upgrade to a high-definition receiver with a built-in digital video recorder that works on two TVs. Your free DVR lets you pause and rewind live TV, skip commercials, and record in HD. And the free professional installation will be done fast, usually within 48 hours. Compared to your cable bill, My Dish Now pack you just start at under $20 a month. No equipment for you to buy. Installation is free. Your HD TV DVR upgrade, free. A full year subscription to TV Guide magazine, free. And don't forget your Apple iPod thank you gift for test driving Dish Network. Have your credit card handy and schedule your installation right now. Call 1-800-610-7657. This amazing offer won't last long, so don't wait. Call now. 1-800-610-7657. 1-800-610-7657.
Hi, I'm Christine, office manager at Evanston Electric. When you're in need of an expert electrician for any electrical repair, including whole house rewiring, service upgrades, please feel free to give Evanston Electric a call. At Evanston Electric, we pride ourselves in quality, on-time, valley-wide service. We will take care of all of your residential and light commercial needs, from the simple to the complex, all with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Call us today at 623-580-VOLT. That's 623-580-8658. or go to 1480kphx.com and click on our web tile there. However, if you're looking for a way to spark up your business, I highly recommend contacting the marketing professionals at 1480kphx. They'll help you create an advertising campaign that will not only increase traffic to your business, but specifically target your ideal client.
Hi, I'm Mari Connor, Senior Account Executive with 1480kphx. To re-energize your business, click on the advertise link at 1480kphx.com.
The home stretch.
We have nearly the same delegate lead as we did this morning.
The last gasp.
And we are on our way to winning this nomination.
The long run.
We're going on, we're going strong, and we're going all the way.
Whatever you call it, it won't be boring. The Democratic presidential nomination. Follow it here on the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX.
Now more with Tom Hartman on the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX.
I still feel 25 most of the time. I still raise a little cane with the boys. Honky-tonks and pretty women. Lord, I'm still right there with them, singing above the crowd and the noise. Sometimes I feel like Jesse James, still trying to make a name, knowing nothing's gonna change what I am. I was a young troubadour when I wrote it.
Five minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Well, speaking of John McCain's health care program, I suppose you could call his program a turkey.
I love your wings. I love your feet.
Our turkey alert here.
You do those things. They're so unique.
Yes, you turkeys.
I love your eyes. The way you walk. I love your voice. The way you squawk.
So anyhow, here's an Ottawa County Sheriff's deputy in Michigan responding to a report of a suspected intruder at a Hudsonville home. Shouted a warning to surrender and then released her canine dog inside. Deputy Sarah Flick tells the Grand Rapids Press, you could hear banging in the walls and the dog growling. 28-year-old Melissa Spomella fled the home Saturday morning when she heard the windows break. So the deputy kicks down the door to the bedroom, and there's the intruder, a turkey. Meanwhile, that was in Michigan. Meanwhile, in Maine, a Maine state trooper tried in vain to break up a fight on the Maine turnpike that was shutting down traffic. Two wild turkeys duking it out on a turkey on ramp in Biddeford, Maine. No word just what the turkeys were fighting over, but it is apparently turkey mating season, so go figure.
You're a chicken, and I'm a turkey, and here is my love song just to you. I love your wings.
So our turkey alert for the day, 37 minutes past the hour. Yeah, it's, you know, John McCain's healthcare program. I think it's all the same. Alan in Missouri. Hey, Alan, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. How's it going?
Just great.
Two quick points. One, something that hasn't been seen in a long time in government would be congressional oversight if we had a public health type system.
You know, yeah, that's my point. If all of us had our butts on the line, you know, literally as well as metaphorically, I mean, you know, if the health care of all of us was being determined by Medicare, then Medicare, I think, would be damn responsive, as they are in every other industrialized country in the world.
Exactly. Another thing, too, is when you fill out the form for a doctor and everything, you got to put a family history down. So is McCain's deal now going to going to slap you because your family, you have a family history of, let's say, cancer, even though you don't have cancer?
Well, there are already insurance companies that are using that as part of their actuarial basis, or, you know, the way that they determine rates, and wait until they start getting into saying, let's just take this Q-tip here and stick it inside your jaw for a minute. We just want to take a look at your DNA and see if maybe you have a genetic predisposition to cancer or heart disease or dementia or, you know, fill in the blank. And then, oh, well, you know, genetic predisposition, pre-existing condition, same thing. Sorry, you're not covered. I mean, there was a story in the paper a couple days ago about how people are being thrown out of healthcare programs after they've already made claims, after they got sick, after they went and got treatment, after they ran up a $250,000 hospital bill, and then the bill comes to the insurance company, and the insurance company says, hey, you didn't tell us you had this condition before when you signed up for the policy, and therefore we're not going to cover you.
Exactly.
I mean, this is a huge trend in the United States right now. And in many cases, it's people didn't realize it was a pre-existing condition, didn't realize they were being asked, didn't realize that the health insurance company had the right to demand that kind of information, et cetera. Alan, thanks for the call. It's so spot on. I mean, this is just an absolute disaster. Sharon in Napa, California. Hey, Sharon, what's up?
Hello, Tom. I have to tell you, I absolutely love your program. I listen to you constantly.
Well, thank you, Sharon.
I wanted to bring up the point you were talking about, the Part D, Medicare coverage, drug coverage.
Right.
I canceled my ARP membership back when all this debating and pushing of this idea was in progress. ARP encouraged their members to be in favor of this plan.
Right. This is AARP, the American Association of Retired Persons. Yeah, a lot of people who are over 50 canceled their AARP membership, myself included, when this happened. And it was because, you know, ultimately, you know, remember Bill McGuire, the insurance executive, the number two insurance company in America, who made $1.78 billion in compensation over the last 10 years? Front page of the Wall Street Journal. That's the insurance company that is providing the insurance that AARP is selling. AARP represents themselves as, you know, hey, we're here to look out for retired people. But in my opinion, the reason that they supported Medicare Part D is because they make most of their money selling insurance. And they're basically, you know, a retail insurance agency. And just like the NRA is basically, you know, a lobbying company for the gun industry. It's like
exactly.
There's a whole bunch of these things that are not what they appear. Sharon, thanks for the call, and thanks for calling them out on it. Stuart in Seattle. Hey, Stuart.
Yeah, as you probably know, what you described earlier with the government working hand-in-hand with the corporations, dictating that Medicare patients pay private companies their full rate for pharmaceuticals, pay private companies the full rate for health insurance,
yep.
And privatizing our roads so that private companies will collect tolls every time we go over them. It's what Mussolini probably would have called fascism. I think that fits that definition.
Yeah, he did.
Fascism.
He did. Actually, it was Giovanni Gentile who wrote that entry for the Encyclopedia Italiana that, you know, fascism is the merger of state and business interests. But it's attributed to Mussolini, and Mussolini certainly would have agreed with it. You're right. Thank you, Stuart. Sean in Indianapolis. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Tom, long time no talk.
Yeah, hey, it's great to hear from you.
Hey, maybe the powers that be has switched from pigeons turkeys, you think?
From pigeons to turkeys, yeah. The new spies, there you go, the new aliens.
Hey, one thing that nobody's bringing up is we got such a nursing and doctor and overall staff shortage. Where are we going to get all these people that are going to take care of all these people that are going to have health care insurance all of a sudden?
Yeah, well, maybe we'll get them from Cuba, Sean. I know you as a disabled person who's had several hundred surgeries. And
335.
Yeah, I'm sorry?
335.
335 surgeries. You've really been, you know, through hell and back, and you know, it's good to hear that you're still listening, and after, what, 5-6 years here that you've been a regular caller to this program.
Yeah.
Good to know that you're still with us. But you've seen it firsthand, and this is something that the American Medical Association started doing back in the 40s or 50s, was when they got control of how many people could enter and what the standards would be for medical schools. And in the beginning, it seemed like a good idea. You know, yeah, let's give a, you know, professional organization control over standards and things like that. But what it has become is a way of rationing the number of doctors in order to keep the pay for physicians high. And the tragedy is that now there are large chunks of the United States. When I lived in Vermont, there are rural communities in Vermont where you can't see, if you want to see a doctor, you have to make an appointment 5-6 months out, and you have to travel 50, 60 miles. I mean, it's an absolute disaster as a consequence of this. And still there are doctors who are not, you know, making a good living in some specialties, and others who are making millions. It is all out of whack. And, you know, when I lived in Germany, the doctor that I had, and you could call and you could generally see them the exact same day, he made a good living. I mean, he was at the top end of the upper middle class. He was doing fine, but he wasn't a multimillionaire, but he was doing fine. And the same thing in England. I mean, what's wrong with just, like in Cuba, saying, you know, anybody who wants to become a doctor can become a doctor?
Well, another thing that we need to bring up also is, you know, the bed space.
Yeah.
You know, the bed space is constantly, you know, at all the hospitals are constantly filled.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And
the people that are really getting screwed are the home health aides, as well as the people, too, the AIDS, and we're not talking about preventative medicine either.
Yeah,
that's what we really need to do, preventative medicine.
You're absolutely right, Sean.
That
Sean,
is,
thank you.
All right.
Thanks a lot for the call. It's great to hear from you. I've got to move along, but it's always good to hear from you, Sean, and I'm glad to know you're still alive and kicking and you're still with us here. Joe in San Diego. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Tom. They did away with our radio station, but I still get to listen to you.
It's great. The wonders of the Internet. Hey, so what's up, Joe?
So now we have, in San Diego, we have a guy that's running for mayor that comes from the health industry where he made millions of dollars and wants to privatize much of the city.
Yeah, so this is like Bill Frist's daddy. You know, he became one of the 20 richest people in America by buying up public hospitals and turning them to for profit and literally squeezing the blood out of all of us.
They're talking about budget cuts. So at a time when people are not driving as much because of the fuel costs and trying to conserve, they're going to cut hours in the libraries and the swimming public pools are all going to be cut in time. So great times ahead. But I have a personal experience kind of working around the insurance industry in that I bought my own personal insurance. And I know that the agent, who I have not spoken to since 1992, gets 10% of what I pay.
Right, every year.
Every
sure.
year.
Sure.
There are only five companies that provide group health care in the entire state of California. There is no competition.
Wow.
Why?
Yeah, so you have essentially a monopoly.
Yeah. And why aren't the insurance commissioners
doing something about it? Absolutely.
This is the Tom Hartman Program, your radio support group for We the People.
Stephanie Miller at 6 a.m., Tom Hartman at 9, weekday mornings on 1480 KPHX.
Why should you consider investing in gold today? Well, number one, it's simply a smart strategy. Many experts believe that adding gold to your portfolio may improve its performance. In fact, it's proven to give investors a 4-to-1 return over stocks the last 3 years alone. Number two, it's guaranteed. When you buy a stock, it's paper that can be worth $100 a share today and nothing tomorrow. When you invest in Gold American Eagles, you get the only gold coins whose weight, content, and purity are guaranteed by the U.S. government. And when you have Blanchard & Company on your side, you get a double guarantee because they guarantee to buy back your gold anytime you want to sell. So if you want proven performance and an asset that has been in demand for 3,000 years, call Blanchard & Company. They have a very special radio offer on Gold American Eagles right now. So call 888-730-GOLD. That's 888-730-GOLD. Don't wait. Call 888-730-GOLD.
I can change the world with my own.
This is your activist update. On Thursday, April 10th, HRC and ASU sponsors Out to Vote 2008 registration drive at Neve Hall at ASU from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Speakers include Representative Kirsten Sinema, Mike Mings from HRC National. Friday, April 11th, CIA veteran Ray McGovern speaks at Grace Lutheran Church, 1124 North 3rd Street in Phoenix. Tickets are available at SpeakTheTruthToPower.com. On Thursday, April 17th, the Arizona Commission on African American Affairs presents Recapturing Our Image Through the Black Media, Southminster Presbyterian Church, 1923 East Broadway, from noon to 2 p.m. To find out all the latest and activities going on here in the Valley, go to 1480kphx.com and click on the Activist Update button. The human race.
Attention, small business owners. Do you worry about your business when you're not there? Do you fear your profits are walking out the front door? Maybe you worry about productivity when you're gone, employee theft, or just the liability altogether. Protect Your World Alarms wants to give you peace of mind. They'll install the latest security cameras at your business or residence, which will record all activity 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Then we will link it to your computer so that you can review all activity from anywhere in the U.S. or the world. Protect Your World Alarms prides themselves in providing the highest quality equipment at the best price. For less than a dollar a day, we can install a Honeywell system that will alert police, fire, or paramedics in case of any kind of emergency. Feel safe and secure in your business or in your own home. Call 623-205-8003. That's 623-205-8003. Or log on to protectyourworldalarms.com. Log on to protectyourworldalarms.com.
Hello, Phoenix. This is Scott Ritter. Thanks for making the Ritter Malloy Talk in February a sold-out event. It's great to see that progressive values are alive and well in the Valley of the Sun. Ray McGovern is coming to Phoenix, and I know you won't want to miss his compelling message. So log on to speakthetruthtopower.com and get your tickets today. Semper Fi.
That's right. Meet, greet, and hear Patriot Ray McGovern this Friday, April 11th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. at Grace Lutheran Church. That's this Friday. Meet a 27-year CIA veteran who's briefed 7 presidents, defied the Bush administration, and confronted Donald Rumsfeld. Get your tickets today at speakthetruthtopower.com. Seating is limited. Go to speakthetruthtopower.com or call 480-650-0746. This event will sell out. Call 480-650-0746 today.
Randy Rhodes is next at noon, then Jeff Farias at 3 p.m. This is 1480 KPHX.
But don't play with me, 'cause you're playing with fire.
9.5 minutes before the hour. The Tom Hartman Radio Program here on Air America Radio. And Ellen Ratner with the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com, on the line with us for our daily update of what's going on in and about the entire world, and especially in Washington, D.C. Hey, Ellen, what's up?
Of course, the Petraeus-Crocker hearings today going on in the Senate. A few of the memorable opening statements is that Petraeus wants a 45-day period in July to consolidate and evaluate the situation after a number of U.S. troops have returned to the post-surge levels. A few of notable statements he said is that the progress made since last spring is fragile and reversible. And then he said it was 15 months ago when Iraq was on the brink of civil war and the decision was made to deploy additional forces, as if they're not still on the brink of civil war.
Right.
He went on, which I'll go on into a second. I think some of the more notable comments today was John McCain's comment. I guess it rhymes. He said the U.S. Congress should not choose to lose in Iraq. Petraeus was also asked about the agreement made with the Iraqi government. As you know, a lot of people are worried that that is going to essentially tie up the United States for a number of years into an agreement that has not been passed by Congress because it is not a treaty.
Right.
And he essentially said that it would be an executive agreement. So
Petraeus is saying that the president has the right to negotiate with a foreign government on behalf of the United States and sign something that binds the United States.
Crocker are basically saying that. That's right.
Right. And that is, I think, you know, you look in the legal dictionaries, that's a treaty. So he's saying that the president has the right to execute a treaty when the Constitution says only Congress has the right to approve a treaty, and a treaty shall be binding upon the United States.
Tom, I think I couldn't have said it better. Exactly.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
It's completely amazing. Then Senator Clinton responded to the idea that it was responsible, that it is irresponsible to withdraw in a planned withdrawal. And she said it would not be irresponsible to not deliver on promises that have been made time and time again. Let's not forget the purpose of the surge, which was to create the space for significant political process. The Iraqi government has not made significant political process, and she said, we don't talk about opportunity costs. We divert resources from a lot that is going on. So she said that, and she also said the situation is tenuous. We've been hearing for the past 5 years to turn a corner. And she said it's time to begin withdrawal, rebuild our military, and get back to Afghanistan. So she clearly made a statement at that point, and she's the one that first asked about the strategic agreements.
Also, good on her.
Yes. And Obama talks this afternoon at 2:30, or he gets to question. And then, of course, John McCain, who is the ranking member of that committee, said that we changed the strategy. We sent additional troops. It's become clear that these efforts are succeeding. The surge worked. Iraqi leaders need to know that we expect them to show leadership and that it is possible to talk about success with hope and optimism. And so that's kind of where he's at.
Nobody is using the language. It seems that everybody is using the language and the metaphors of war and victory and defeat rather than the metaphors of occupation and withdrawal. Are you hearing anybody talking about when do you end the occupation?
Hillary talked about withdrawal. I mean, she really did talk about withdrawal. And then there was a lot of talk also about how they're going to use the money that they actually have. And what's fascinating, Tom, this is going to get you, it certainly got me, is that the International Monetary Fund projects Iraq's GDP is going to grow 7% in real terms this year, and inflation has been tamed, i.e. Iraq's economy is growing more than the United States of America.
They're in better shape than we are. Oh, man. That is the ultimate irony. I mean,
It is quite astounding. In fact, Iraq also announced its decision to purchase 40 commercial aircraft from the United States at a cost of about $5 billion. So now I guess they're beginning to trade with us.
Yeah, so they're apparently actually using their oil revenue. And when are they going to start rebuilding their own infrastructure? When are they going to start rebuilding?
Well, they did say that they have something like $10 billion now towards infrastructure. $13 billion for reconstruction is going from their budget at this point.
And they're hiring Iraqi companies. I mean, if they want to stop the war, if they want to stop people from freaking out and joining militias and whatnot, all you have to do is give them a job. And if the Iraqis started hiring Iraqi companies and an Iraqi company started hiring Iraqi workers and putting people back to work, I mean, when we disbanded their army, we put through 500,000 people out of work, put people back to work, they're not going to be shooting at somebody. They're going to be, you know, providing for their families.
Exactly. And it was very clear when we were there in June of 2003 that was going to be the solution. But the United States decided to disband the military instead. The other interesting thing is that, of course, Carl Levin went after this 45 days in a very big way. And he asked... He actually asked about whether there was going to be a brief pause, whether there going to be a pause, and then Petraeus said, sir, I'm not using the word brief nor pause. So this whole 45-day stand-down issue to reevaluate, of course, right before the elections, is pretty interesting.
Petraeus has been, you know, floated as a vice presidential candidate, as somebody who may be wanting to run for the United States Senate in 2010. What's the sense there on Capitol Hill?
A lot of people today, actually, it's very interesting you were saying that, because a lot of the press today were actually talking about he's sounding very political. Is he thinking of running for office? So you're right on target on that.
Yeah. And which then brings into question, you know, what his motives are, what he's saying. The 45-day pause, what's the rationale for that?
To see where we're at after we pull back to post-surge numbers in terms of troops. Now, Harry Reid, just on the last thing here, sent out an announcement saying this has been totally ineffective. We've lost 11 of our troops since Saturday.
Amazing. Ellen Radner, tragic, actually. Ellen Radner with the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com. Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you.
Great speaking with you. Coming up next, I want to get into some of the things that are happening with our economy, the Columbia trade deal, and Congressman Joe Sesta. Stick around.
You're in the Democracy Zone.
Democracy
with
Zone.
Tom Hartman.
The Tom Hartman Program.
Changing your oil every 3,000 miles is critical. Sludge buildup inside your engine can reduce power, increase fuel usage, even lead to premature engine failure. Castrol GTX offers patented anti-sludge technology and unsurpassed protection against viscosity and thermal breakdown. And at Napa Auto Parts, you can get Castrol GTX conventional motor oil for just $2.29 a quart. Price does not include state and local taxes or recycling fees. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff!
Hi, I'm Ty Pennington, and I bet you can't guess what I've got in my hand. Well, it's smaller than the buttons on my shirt, but it can help millions of people change their future. It's Bayer low-dose aspirin, and taken regularly, as directed by a doctor, it can prevent 1 out of 3 heart attacks. Now, aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen. Hey, your future's in your hands. Bayer aspirin. Expect wonders.
You know that old heating and cooling unit won't last forever, maybe 15 years average, if you take good care of it. Going higher efficiency now before the next big cost increase can get you a full payback in 5 years in utility savings alone, not to mention rebate money. Call North Valley Mechanical for a quote on a new green American Standard comfort system, 480-538-9184, or log on to northvalleymechanical.com. Great service and excellent value, 480-538-9184 or northvalleymechanical.com.
Next to a house, a car or truck is usually the biggest investment most people make. Hello, my name is Frank Sarwart. I will be giving Frank auto advice from 2 till 3 p.m. every Saturday on 1480 KPHX. From how and what kind of car to buy, where to get it fixed, legal issues, and much more. That's Frank Auto Advice, Saturdays at 2 p.m. right here on the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX.
This is the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
AP Radio News. I'm Diane Kepley. A report card on Iraq. The top American commander from the combat zone and the U.S. ambassador to Iraq brief members of Congress on progress and talk about the possibility of withdrawing more U.S. forces.
Warning a hasty withdrawal would jeopardize hard-fought gains. General David Petraeus says commanders should have 45 days to decide the next step once U.S. troop strength returns to pre-surge levels. That drew immediate fire from Senate Armed Services Committee Chairman Carl Levin.
Just the next page in a war plan with no exit strategy.
Levin asked the general how soon after the evaluation period the troop withdrawals might resume.
Could be right then, or it could be longer. Again, it is when...
That protester was quickly led from the hearing room. Jerry Bodlander, Capitol Hill.
Tomorrow is the fifth anniversary of the capture of Baghdad by U.S. forces. The Iraqi military is bracing for possible violence by banning all unauthorized vehicles from the city. Iran's president claims his country has tested new advanced centrifuges. The U.N. had demanded a halt in that part of Tehran's uranium enrichment program. San Francisco is prepared for possible protests tomorrow as the Olympic torch relay goes through the city. David Perry is a spokesman for the relay organizers, and he says security will be tight.
Security for those who will carry the torch, and security for those who, of course, are also exercising their First Amendment right to protest. That is first and foremost what will dictate the route or any changes to the route.
The IOC is now considering whether to cancel the rest of the international portion of the relay because of anti-Chinese protests. Another arrest at a Texas polygamous compound. Sect member Leroy Johnson Steed is charged with tampering with physical evidence. Authorities are still questioning the hundreds of women and children who were taken from that compound. A slight downturn today on Wall Street. So far, the Dow is down by about 50 points. This is AP Radio News. Democrats are split over how to respond to the housing crisis. House leaders are focusing on helping homeowners facing foreclosure. The Senate is close to approval of a plan to give tax breaks to home builders and banks. Pending home sales have dropped to their lowest levels since an industry group started tracking such things. This is economist Bob Bruska.
The fact that
pending home sales are declining tells you that people are probably taking their houses off the market, because I don't think it's a case of sales having picked up.
Meanwhile, gas prices are high and getting even higher, and the AAA says that could affect vacation travel plans.
First of all, they'll travel closer to home. Second of all, when they eat out, they'll do so at fast food restaurants to try to save some money. Also, they'll stay at more economical hotels. And then finally, they will tend to do more online trip planning to find the shortest route to their destination.
Pope Benedict is getting ready for his trip to the U.S. He says he hopes his visit will be seen as a fraternal gesture toward all Christian denominations. I'm Diane Kepley, AP Radio News.
Brought to you by 24 Hour Fitness. The hardest part to getting fit is taking the first step. Visit any of the 10 clubs in the Phoenix area. Call 800-224-0240 or online at 24hourfitness.com.
Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, Randy Rhodes, Jeff Farias, and Mike Malloy. The cure for the corporate radio blues. This is the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX.
Replacing just one light bulb with a compact fluorescent light bulb will save 150 pounds of carbon dioxide per year. Renewal by Anderson, the only window company certified by Green Seal, is having a light bulb swap. Join me in bringing down your old light bulbs to Renewal by Anderson and swapping them for new energy-efficient light bulbs free of charge while supplies last. Limit 4 per household. The swap is next Saturday, April 19th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Visit 1480kphx.com for more information on the swap or call 480-967-5557.
Tax time is just around the corner. Is your business prepared? Hi, this is Carrie with Camel View Accounting Services. As a QuickBooks Pro Advisor, I can help you organize your business bookkeeping to take a complete package to your CPA. For a full list of services, please visit my website at camelviewaccounting.biz or give us a call at 480-946-2484. That's 480-946-2484, or find us on the sponsor directory at 1480kphx.com.
Step outside midday and you quickly sense the harsh effects the Arizona sun has on you. Just as you need sunglasses and sunscreen, your home needs protection. It's Blind Time has your local solution for window treatments, shutters, and blinds for every budget that provide not only privacy, but also UV protection and make your home more energy efficient. It's Blind Time knows the damage prolonged sun exposure can do to your floors and furniture. Choose from our vinyl blinds and wood shutters, or select from an array of green alternatives. That's right, It's Blind Time is a proud dealer of eco-friendly, American-made Graber blinds and shutters. Their enviro-friendly window coverings offer an array of fabrics, which are all tested for indoor pollutants. In Phoenix, it's springtime, which really means it's summertime, so it's Blind Time. For your free, no-obligation estimate, call It's Blind Time at 623-594-3670. That's 623-594-3670. Or log on to itsblindtime.com. That's itsblindtime.com.
The Randy Rhodes Show.
I have had better trips, like, on a sugar cube, okay, than I had coming back and forth across this country. And she can't remember sniper fire accurately. I don't know what to do about this. I really, and I know people are mad at me because I keep telling you about full of crap she is, and I can't help it. She's full of crap. What do you want me to do?
The Randy Rhodes Show. Weekdays from noon to 3 on 1480 KPHX. This is the Tom Hartman Program, live and exclusively on the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX. This is the Tom Hartman Program. Tom Hartman. Where smart people get their news.
Oh, it's a very interesting piece in today's Financial Times. The political threats to globalization. Gideon Rackman writing about this. Gideon.Rackman at FT.com, his website, or his email address. I'm guessing that FT.com, www.FT.com would get you to it if you want to see it. It's called The Political Threats to Globalization. And as the story is breaking that Hillary Clinton and this is, I don't mean this in any pro or anti-Clinton or Obama context, but just as the story is breaking that Hillary Clinton has fired Mark Penn, for taking $300,000 from the Colombian government to promote the U.S.-Colombia free trade deal. It turns out that there's somebody else on her staff who took $800,000 from a company based in Colombia, Gold Service International, to give speeches in Colombia and around throughout Latin America promoting the Colombia free trade deal and similar kinds of free trade pacts. And in fact, this guy even helped a Canadian company successfully acquire oil fields in Colombia and lent this advisor of Hillary Clinton, the president of Colombia, lent this advisor his private jet so that this guy could travel around Latin America, give these speeches, and donated $31 million to this advisor's private charity. That advisor, of course, Bill Clinton. So, okay, if Mark Penn gets fired for taking $300,000 from Colombia, is Bill Clinton going to get fired for taking $800,000 in direct fees that go into his pocket and $31 million that go into his charitable fund? But it raises, you know, that's the cheap shot irony part, okay? And again, as I've said before, I don't think that this, frankly, in any way disqualifies Hillary Clinton from being a good and strong candidate for president of the United States. It's ironic, but it really raises this larger issue, which is this larger issue of globalization. Keep in mind the Boston Tea Party. It's fascinating. The Boston Tea Party happened in the late fall, early winter of 1773, and the early winter in December of 1773. And when you go back and read the history of it, now keep in mind, the guys who participated in the Boston Tea Party swore an oath of silence for 50 years. And the only one who was left in 1832, the only one who was still alive, as far as he knew, was a guy named George Robert Twelve Tree Hughes, who had been 16 or 17 years old and participated in the Boston Tea Party. And he wrote a book about it, which was privately published by R.R. Bliss in Oswego, New York, in upstate New York. He wrote a diary, basically. He published his diary of the Boston Tea Party. And it was in print for a year or two, and then it went out of print. It's been out of print ever since. And I got a copy of it when I was writing, which book was it? Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. This was about 10 years ago. I was writing this book about the rise of corporate power in the United States. And I found this book at an antique bookstore in San Francisco, and it cost me almost as much as the advance I got for writing the book. But it was amazing, because what George Robert Twelve Tree Hughes described was that in 1773, I knew from reading Jefferson's diaries and from reading Jefferson's commentary, his booklet on how to be a good British American, you know, basically in the United States, from early 1773, that it was the Boston Tea Party that flipped him over the edge. Prior to the Boston Tea Party, Jefferson was not in favor of our severing our ties with the United Kingdom. After the Boston Tea Party, he was. This was the turning point for many of the founders of this country and framers of the Constitution, and certainly the authors of the Declaration of Independence. The primary author, Thomas Jefferson, and the editors, Ben Franklin and Thomas and John Adams. This was the turning point for them. And what it was globalization. You had tea and alcohol were the drugs of choice in the United States. Tea being the primary one. And there were tea shops all up and down the East Coast. Every block had a tea shop. It was the place where people gathered. It was the place where people were socializing. And they competed based on the tea that they had. And there were hundreds of small companies that were importing tea into the United States. And many of them were considered by the British to be pirates or to be outlaws or to be smugglers because they were importing tea into the United States without paying taxes and without paying permits, although many of them were paying taxes. The vast majority of them were paying taxes. But it was basically a business that was dominated by small business. There were these thousands of little individual tea shops, and there were hundreds of small tea importers. and the British East India Company wanted to monopolize that business. They wanted to wipe out all the small companies and control the tea trade in the United States. And so they went to the British government and they said, give us a tax cut on the taxes to import tea into the United States or into the colonies. And in addition to that, make that tax cut retroactive so we can get what was then 19 million pounds sterling, what in today's dollars, I heaven only knows, billions of dollars, in retroactive tax breaks so that we can undersell the competition and we can finally put out of business all these small companies that are a pain in the butt to us. And the British government, the parliament, most of whom were stockholders, certainly at the House of Lords, they were all stockholders in the East Indian Company. The East Indian Company, keep in mind, in 1601 was brought into existence by Queen Elizabeth I. And all of its shareholders initially were the members of parliament. So the government of Great Britain said, fine, we'll give you a tax break. That was the Tea Act of 1773. That tax cut for the British East India Company, which would allow them to wipe out the small American entrepreneurs, is the reason why those small American entrepreneurs rose up and went into Boston Harbor and destroyed, in today's dollars, $1 million worth of tea. $1 million act of vandalism, which then led to the Boston Ports Act, where the British government said, until the city of Boston pays back the East India Company $1 million for the tea that they lost, we're going to shut down the port. Which then led to the Boston Massacre, which then led directly to the Revolutionary War. So this was a tax cut. This was globalization on steroids. And the colonists were saying no. So anyhow, back to Gideon Rackman. He's writing in today's Financial Times, and he said, the political changes that made globalization possible took place in a remarkably short period of time, from 1978 to 1991. In other words, it was basically under the administrations of Ronald Reagan and George Herbert Walker Bush. He says it started out with China's decision to turn from Maoism to an open market, Deng Xiaoping, in 1978. That was where China started it. Then a year later, 79, Maggie Thatcher comes to power in Britain. She's going to go along with this thing. I mean, after all, it worked for them in 1773, right? Well, actually, it did work for them prior to that. It's also the way that they took India. There was global free trade back then. It was dominated by the British, therefore they liked it. You know, we'd like it to be dominated by us, therefore we'd like it. But actually, it's transnational corporations now are more powerful than individual nations. But so anyhow, Maggie Thatcher gets on board in 1979. And then in 1980, Ronald Reagan, I'm quoting from the Financial Times, then in 1980, Ronald Reagan took power in the U.S. on a platform of deregulation and tax cuts, giving a huge boost to market ideology around the world. So globalization is this very, very recent thing. And the globalists are starting to worry. He points out in Europe, Nicolas Sarkozy, French president, has been arguing for protectionism on a European level. He wants to reestablish community preferences, essentially higher tariffs against goods from outside the European Union. Why? Because they've discovered in Europe the same thing we've discovered here. Without tariffs to protect your domestic markets, everything gets made in China. Mr. Sarkozy does not have many EU allies yet, but the re-election of Silvio Berlusconi in Italy could change that. Hey, I'm starting to like that, you know, curmudgeon-y old billionaire. India's politicians are not rushing to sign a new world trade deal. They're protecting their domestic markets. Did you know in India it's illegal to own more than one retail outlet? 97% of all retail businesses in India, 97% of all retail business, all retail trade in India is done by individual, small, family-owned stores. Why? Because it's the law. They're protecting their local businesses.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program, where despair is not an option. Get active.
Randy Rhodes at noon. Jeff Barrios at 3. Weekday afternoons on 1480 KPHX.
Wouldn't you love to be a lucky parent who's proud of your child's grades? Well, now you can turn poor grades around to A's, even when they're failing.
Hello, I'm Dan Bass-Majan. During my 20 years as an educator, the kids with failing grades were sent to me. I discovered that bad grades don't come from bad or lazy kids. They come from kids who are overwhelmed by everything they have to learn. That's why I created The Simple Way to an A. This system shows kids how to learn and how to ace every test. It's so easy, your teenager will earn better grades in 30 days guaranteed and become the happy, confident kid you know they can be.
Call right now for a free copy of the Top 10 Secrets to Improving Grades.
For a limited time, Dan is offering all parents a free copy of his Top 10 Secrets to Improving Grades. Call now so we can send them to you absolutely free. Call 888-729-8738. That's 888-729-8738. Call 888-729-8738.
How satisfying would it be for you to know that a construction job you helped manage is now a functioning building, home, or development? The construction industry needs qualified people to plan and coordinate various phases of construction projects. But to get to that level, you need to develop knowledge and skills, the kind that are taught in the construction management program at ITT Technical Institute. Call 1-800-338-4571. ITT Tech's Bachelor Degree Program in Construction Management helps graduates prepare for career opportunities in a variety of entry-level positions in the construction management field. Classes meet just a few days a week to help you balance school with your life, and financial aid is available for those who qualify. Learn more about pursuing your degree in this high-demand field. Call now for a brochure on the Construction Management Program at ITT Tech. Call 1-800-338-4571. 1-800-338-4571. That's 1-800-338-4571.
Ever notice your local furniture store is always having an amazing sale? It's always based on something urgent, like we need to make room for new inventory, or we're going out of business. Well, folks, they've been going out of business for years now. It's all part of the game. You know, the game. The one retailers play with your money. They buy stuff wholesale, mark the price way up, then have a sale to create the illusion that you've gotten a great deal. Before you jump on the next great deal you see in a retail store, you really should attend an open house at Direct Buy. Call today and let them send you an invitation and a free insider's guide that sheds some light on just how much retailers mark up their prices. And it'll tell you all about buying manufacturer direct. Stop paying 40 and 50% markup at retail. Call 800-471-1184 to learn more. That's 800-471-1184. Call 800-471-1184 today.
Hi, this is Dr. Mark Espinoza with Central Dental Care, home of the pain-free smile makeover. If you're looking for a painless dentist, call me at 602-943-7297. But if you'd like a painless way to grow your business, I have to tell you how impressed I've been with the return on my marketing investment since advertising on 1480 KPHX. Traffic to my dental practice has only increased since advertising on 1480 KPHX.
This is Mari Connor with 1480 KPHX. To learn more, click on the advertising link at 1480kphx.com.
The Jeff Ferriss Show.
What matters is 100 years of war in Iran. I have a 15-year-old son who will be, either I have a choice, either to move to Canada or move somewhere out of this country to protect my son if John McCain gets in office. That's what we're looking at. 100 more years of wars. Your sons and daughters being sent to the desert to fight and die for oil and Halliburton.
The Jeff Ferriss Show, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX.
Back to the Tom Hartman Program, live on the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX.
And as Ambassador Crocker and General Petraeus are testifying before Congress today, let's get a sense of Congress. Congressman Joe Sestak represents Pennsylvania's 7th Congressional District. He rose to the rank of 3-star admiral in the Navy. He commanded the George Washington Aircraft Battle Carrier Group, consisting of 30 U.S. and Allied ships, 15,000 sailors, and close to 100 aircraft. He was also President Clinton's White House Director of Defense Policy and National Security, and holds a Ph.D. in Political Economy and Government from Harvard University. Quite a bio, sir.
Thanks.
I'm really just a ship driver.
Okay, there you go. Well, you know, what's your take, Congressman, on the testimony that you've heard this morning before the United States Senate?
Well, I've only caught snippets of it, but I pretty much what I expected is he wants more time to assess things. And the real tragedy here is it's not the questions. It's the questions General Petraeus cannot and should not answer that are the most important. For example, although I want to hear from him about military security and whether it's achieved its goal of political accommodation, which it has not, sitting beside him, we should have the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who should have answered the question, what's the impact upon our overall military security now that the United States Army does not have any unit here in America that can meet any timeline for any war plan, an entire annex of war plans? And what's the impact upon America's military security when we've been doing almost exclusive training in counterinsurgency to the negligence of everything else? And then next to him should have been General Hayden answering for the CIA, what's the impact upon the global war of terror and our security when al-Qaeda has a safe haven now in Pakistan and the poorest border areas of Afghanistan? So in short, it's interesting and nice to hear from General Petraeus that he should be a supporting player on what the overall impact is on America's national security of his strategy. And if it's negative, we should then change the strategy, and that type of debate is not occurring.
In other words, we're focusing entirely on the micro. We should be looking at the macro. We're looking at the small picture of what's happening in Iraq, and we have Petraeus on because he's in charge of what's happening in Iraq, when we should be looking at the larger picture of how this affects overall American security, America's interests all around the world, and America's ability to fight any war anywhere for that matter.
Without a question. Not to have considered this was the failure of the first Petraeus report, and both Congress and this president have set it up for a second failure. Look, allowing one military man who's responsible for one portion of America's military security and set the tone for the whole of U.S. national security, not only, in my opinion, stands against the spirit of the Constitution, it also imperils the security of all America.
Well, then,
a comprehensive assessment, and that's what's demanded.
Then this begs the question, since the Democrats are in charge of Congress and the Democrats hold the committee chairs that are calling witnesses, aren't you criticizing the leadership of, I guess it was the Senate this morning that the generals testified before?
Yeah, I've spoken about this since and brought it up, months ago, et cetera. However, I've been told by the leadership that they tried to get some individuals to come forward and the administration refused. Be that as it may, it should have been, in my opinion, a call celebre. Because we truly, truly in Congress probably aren't going to be able to end this war, assuredly, until we have a new president. But we should have been holding up a national mayor. And yes, I look at this as the Congress is responsible by the Constitution for providing for the common defense. And if nothing else, we should have held up a national mayor and made it an issue more than we have.
They always going to the bigger picture seems, an absolutely important and wise thing. I'm curious, sir, you're a superdelegate, what your thoughts are, if I may ask you, on the primary here. It's coming up in your state.
Yeah, it's going to be a great primary, and I think it's also making two wonderful, caring individuals who share deep beliefs about what's good about our nation and what we need to do to change it to become better presidential candidates. I endorsed Senator Clinton about a year ago because I did get to know her when I was in the White House and was quite taken by what she went about things. But as a superdelegate, I firmly believe that everyone, even if we go into a broken convention about this, has to understand it's not about one of these two individuals. It is not about party. It is about the nation. If we don't have a Democratic president at the end of this road, then shame on anyone who doesn't put their elbow, their shoulder behind whoever wins coming out of at least the convention.
Yeah, amen. Amen to that. And I agree with you. Either one of these people would make a great president. I think both of them have the potential to be the next Franklin Roosevelt, which is something we desperately need. We need to reinvigorate this country, bring our jobs back home, and get our nose out of places like Iraq, if I may.
Tom, you gave a great example. I just said this. I was on a local television here just a few hours ago, and I said, look, this is probably one of the more defining elections in a generation since Franklin Roosevelt. And keep in mind, Franklin Roosevelt, with Al Smith, went into a broken Democratic convention, came out of it, the party united, and look what happened. And we've got to do the same now.
Yeah, and Franklin Roosevelt was also, it was argued by many of the commentators and pundits of the time that, you know, well, he's just a ne'er-do-well, he's just a rich guy, how's he going to help out America? You know, he was taking very conservative, very cautious positions in the election of 1932, and yet he got into office and he, in probably one of the most powerful ways, transformed this nation in the history of this country.
And that's why you can tell from these two individuals. Hey, you can say what the relative strengths are, all right, but either one of them gets in there, I honestly believe they will quickly get to business. I happen to believe in the Senator Clinton just because I know she will on day one, but I'm convinced whoever's there is the right change.
Yep, from your lips to God's ears. Congressman Joe Sestak, representing the 7th District of Pennsylvania. Thank you, Congressman, for being with us.
Great to be aboard.
Thank you. 27 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman Program on Air America Radio.
Tuned in to the Tom Hartman Program. Call Tom at 866-303-2270.
Mike Malloy at 6 p.m. Rachel Maddow at 9. Weeknights on 1480 KPHX.
Debt. It sneaks up on you. Yeah, like a runaway train. You want this thing, so you charge it. You can't live without that, so you charge it. Next thing you know, you're 15 grand in debt and turning over the sofa cushions looking for change to make the minimum payments. Get your life back on track with Liberty Relief. Debt comes in all shapes and sizes, just like people. That's why Liberty Relief has multiple programs. One is sure to be right for you. There's no escaping debt. It follows you wherever you go. But right now, you have options. Call now for a free consultation with a Liberty Relief debt specialist before bankruptcy is your only option. Call 888-358-7575. That's 888-358-7575. Call now for a free consultation with a Liberty Relief debt specialist. Call 888-358-7575. 888-358-7575.
How much would you pay to have a fresh, blistering exposé of the frauds, follies, and felonies of George W. Bush and company delivered to your mailbox every week? You say you'd pay nothing? Well, that's perfect, because that's our offer exactly. The Nation magazine will send you 4 weeks of America's hottest, widest-read journal of opinion absolutely free. Nobody, not Murdoch, not Time Warner, nobody owns the Nation, so nobody stops the Nation from printing the truth. Go to readthenation.com or call 800-999-6863 and accept 4 issues free. After 4 weeks, you can bail out. Just write cancel on our invoice, but I predict you'll be addicted. And delighted to sign up for 24 weeks at $13.95. That's just 58 cents a week. The Nation, risk-free at readthenation.com or call 800-999-6863. Readthenation.com or call 800-999-6863 and accept 4 issues free. The Nation.
This is the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX.
General wants a pause. I'm Tim McGuire. Top U.S. General in Iraq told the Senate Armed Services Committee he wants a 45-day pause on further withdrawals once the troops involved in the surge leave this summer. Committee Chairman Carl Levin tried to get General David Petraeus to say how long the pause would be.
Could that be a month? Could that be 2 months?
Sure, it could be less than that. It could.
Could it be more than that?
It could be more than that.
At one point in the hearing, a protester was escorted out after shouting, "Bring them home." Forget cross-country. Try down the street. Family vacation will suffer this summer. Gasoline prices near or punch through the $4 a gallon level.
First of all, they'll travel closer to home. Second of all, when they eat out, they'll do so at fast food restaurants to try to save some money.
That's a AAA's Troy Green. Not a whole lot of home buyers out there. National Association of Realtors says pending home sales dropped in February to their lowest level since the index was started 8 years ago. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 40. S&P is off 6. NASDAQ is down 14. I'm Tim McGuire.
1480 KPHX. Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, Randy Rhodes, Jeff Farias, and Mike Malloy. Bringing democracy back to the airwaves. This is the Valley's Progressive Talk. 1480 KPHX.
You don't have much time left to file your taxes. We know. You want to save money, so you'll just do it yourself or go to one of those national chain places that popped up next to your grocery store. Think you're saving money? Think again. Call Business Needs at 602-595-5210. For personal or business taxes, Business Needs is your local tax solution. Their tax professionals are there all year long serving Valley residents and businesses. So if you've just found the 1099 you earned for a side job, or did your taxes and realized your child or student entitles you to a tax credit, they're there 365 days a year to make sure you receive all that is owed back to you. This tax year and every tax year, Business Needs wants to earn you as a client for life. April 15th is just around the corner. Make your appointment today. Call Business Needs, your personal and business tax specialist. For all your needs, call Business Needs at 602-595-5210.
I'm not an attorney and I'm not an accident victim, but I do work with both. My name's Dina Harris. I'm the administrator for the law firm of Osteen and Harrison, and I've worked here for nearly 20 years. Over that time, I've seen thousands of people who've been injured in accidents, and I'm very pleased to tell you that all of them have had their cases handled in a highly professional way, and they were all shown the attention, courtesy, concern, and respect that everyone deserves. The attorneys at Osteen and Harrison have recovered more than $3 billion for our clients. So if you're ever injured in an accident that wasn't your fault, call Osteen and Harrison at 602-252-8888. It's not about getting even. It's about getting you everything you deserve. Call us at 602-252-8888. You can ask for me if you'd like. I'm Dina Harris for Osteen and Harrison, and we'd like to help you.
Memo to the next president of the United States. Soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines are not wholly owned contract employees of the petroleum industry.
0120-2009. Talk about it. Plan for it. Hope for it. Here.
1480 KPHX.
The Randy Rhodes Show, weekdays from noon to 3 on 1480 KPHX.
Oh, things are going wild in the chat room. Sue had to step out. She was having problems with her mouse. I think she has to go clean her mouse's balls. Ball, excuse me. So you can drop by our live chat room by going to TomHartmann.com or TomHartmann.org. Either one, there's a link to our chat room over on the left-hand side. 35 minutes past the hour. Joe Sestak is so right. We really need to be looking at the macro instead of the micro. And, you know, the Democrats hold some responsibility for this as well. We all need to be looking at this. I want to just wrap up this thing about globalization that I started this hour with, and then we'll take your calls on you know, this and other topics that we've talked about today. Sarkozy talking about, hey, let's go back to tariffs, what he calls community preference. Berlusconi talking about, openly, let's go back to tariffs. India, still maintaining tariffs on most things. China, still maintaining tariffs on most things. South Korea still has a tariff-based trade system. Japan has a tariff-based system. And then Gideon Rockman also noting in today's Financial Times, he said, the sense that the poor have lost out as a result of globalization has grown with the rise in world food prices. Hunger, that most traditional threat to ruling elites. Now keep in mind, this is the elites talking to the elites. That's the Financial Times. Hunger, that most traditional threat to ruling elites, is returning to many countries that have embraced globalization. Political leaders around the world are struggling to contain all these pressures and maintain the consensus that has made globalization possible. But their task is getting harder. Globalization was made possible by political change, but what politics made, politics can take away. Amen! And it's time to take it away. It's time for us to have trade policies that make some sense. It's time for us, the United States, to say, well, gee, why don't we just have a trade policy that's sort of like South Korea's, for example? Japan's. I mean, Toyota, the olive tree and the Lexus, right? Tom Friedman's book, The Olive Tree and the Lexus, in which he is blithering about the wonders of international free trade, which only benefits huge transnational corporations. And he tries to make it like somehow the Lexus came about as a result of global free trade. It didn't. Toyota was a loom company. It was called the Toyota, T-O-Y-O-D-A, loom company. They made machines that wove cloth. And they decided in the late 1950s, early 1960s, that they wanted to go into the car business. So the government, MITI, the Ministry of Industry and Technology, this government agency, set up a huge subsidy program for them. Japan put into place import tariffs to prevent American car manufacturers from selling cars in Japan to compete against Toyota. The government subsidized their research and development. It assisted them with marketing and selling the product. Toyota became the Lexus. The Lexus came about 100% largely as a consequence of direct, positive, proactive involvement of the government of Japan in helping build an industry. And then you get crazies like Tom Friedman running around saying, oh, gee, look at this. We just need to do away with all these government protections and government programs and tariffs and things like that that might protect domestic industries and ship all our jobs to China, no problem whatsoever. And the proof of it is the Lexus. What? Anyway, I think I've made my point. Dawn in Detroit. Hey, Dawn, what's up?
Hi, Tom. Just wondering if you've been watching that special they've had on HBO on on John Adams.
I have seen two segments of it, but perhaps more importantly, I read the book by I want to say McAuliffe. That's not his name.
Well, I think
it first came out.
I don't know how many segments there are, but I've seen five. I seen the fifth one on Sunday. And I was just wondering your take on how accurate it was. It seems very accurate to me, and I think that they're just doing a wonderful job. The actors and whoever directed this is just absolutely fabulous.
Yeah, I would recommend that you read Fawn Brody's biography of Jefferson, which is called Thomas Jefferson, An Intimate Biography.
Uh-huh.
Fawn Brody has, I believe, since died, and the book is out of print, but you can pick it up in any used bookstore. It was published in the 1970s, and it's, in my opinion, the best biography of Jefferson that's ever been written. Jefferson and Madison, through much of their political lives, were bitter enemies and hated each other. And when McAuliffe, I think, isn't it John McAuliffe who wrote this book, or McCullough, the author of the book on which this series is based, when he wrote that book, we were living in Vermont at the time. This was maybe 7-8 years ago. And I remember two things when I read the book, two things that really jumped out at me. Number one was he completely minimized what I think was the most significant issue in John Adams' presidency, which was the passage of the Alien and Sedition Acts and his hyping the XYZ affair. The XYZ affair was where he had sent over to France three people. One of them was George Marshall, who he later appointed to be Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. Three people to negotiate with the government of France, with Napoleon. And somebody came in the middle of the night and said, hey, listen, we can get you an inside track for your negotiations if you pay us X. I think it was $10,000, whatever it was. And these three people never identified themselves, so John Adams referred to them as Mr. X, Mr. Y, and Mr. Z.
Mm-hmm.
And he used this as a way of whipping up war hysteria with France and making France the big terrorist enemy that we had to prepare for war to go against. At the same time, he virtually single-handedly pushed through Congress legislation, the Alien and Sedition Acts, which passed Congress by one vote. And Congress specifically wrote it so that it expired on March 1st or March 4th of 1800, which was the day that he would have left office if he wasn't reelected in the election of 1800. And he wasn't. Jefferson beat him in large part because of the XYZ affair and the Alien and Sedition Acts. And these acts gave John Adams so much power that he immediately, even before he signed it, Jefferson left town the day that Adams signed this thing. He literally left town in protest. He was the vice president at the time.
Right,
and he said, no, I will have nothing to do with this. And Adams, even before he signed it, took Benjamin Franklin Bach, who was Ben Franklin's grandson, who was publishing a newspaper in Massachusetts called The Aurora, and put him in prison because he wrote an op-ed, an editorial, in which he said that Adams had a bad temperament and was old, toothless, querulous, and balding. And for that, John Adams put him in prison. John Adams shut down the 20 largest of the Republican newspapers. These were what today is the Democratic Party, Thomas Jefferson's party. Shut down those newspapers, put their publishers in jail. Matthew Lyon stood up on the floor of the House of Representatives and challenged John Adams, and also challenged Roger Griswold, who was Adams' compatriot. He was the congressman from Connecticut. And he said that Adams and Griswold were serving the interests of the rich in the United States at the expense of the poor and the average working person. Griswold came over with a fire poker to pick a fight with Matthew Lyon. Adams had Lyon arrested, exported him up to Vermont, threw him into jail in Vergennes, Vermont, where he sat for 2 years in an unheated jail cell. He ran for re-election in the election of 1800, the election that Adams lost, and Matthew Lyon from Vermont won re-election from a jail cell because John Adams had thrown him into jail using the Alien and Sedition Acts. There was a guy named Luther Baldwin who was sitting in a pub, and all of this, I mean, you'll find this in any history except the history that this series is based on. There was a guy named Luther Baldwin who was sitting in a pub in Delaware. John Adams, actually it was mostly his wife, had standing orders that whenever their carriage came through town, the local militia had to come out, they had to fire their guns in the air and say, you know, long live and God bless John Adams. And so the cannons were out, and this guy is in this pub in, as I recall, maybe it was Trenton, New Jersey. In any case, Luther Baldwin is in this bar, and the bar is owned by a Federalist, a guy who is a partisan for Adams' party, right? In other words, back then it was the Federalists and the Republicans. Today we'd call the Federalists Republicans, and we'd call the Republicans Democrats. As the procession goes, and Baldwin was the local town drunk. He was an alcoholic. As the procession goes through, John and Abigail Adams, they go down the street in their carriage. The cannons go off, you know, for the salute, as was required by law by John Adams. And Luther Baldwin says to the bartender, "Ah, there go the cannons. They're firing them at John Adams. I don't care if they fire one at his arse." And for this, the bartender turned him in, and John Adams had him imprisoned under the Alien and Sedition Acts for speaking ill of the president. Luther Baldwin spent the next 2 years in prison as a consequence of having said to a bartender that he didn't care if they were firing the cannons at the president or not. That was John Adams. Now, the guy who wrote this book, no, this is all, you can, I'm telling you, you can read this in any of the other histories. McCullough, who wrote this book, when the book came out, had a picture on his website 6 years ago of him and George Herbert Walker Bush arm in arm. In my opinion, this book and this series is an attempt to sanitize and revive the wonders of a president who almost destroyed democracy in the United States, and whose son became president.
Well, you're gonna love segment five, because that's the one where they all turn their backs on him, especially in the Senate, because at the time he's vice president, and they turn their backs on him because he wants to address George Washington, who was president at the time, as Your Highness or something.
Right, yeah. And no, then, John Adams there are a lot of people.
Where did he go wrong? He started out, he seemed to start out as a fair person.
Adams and Jefferson, both of them, are very complex people. I mean, they both had parts of them that, you know, in retrospect were brilliant, and they both had parts of them that in retrospect were terrible. And to hold either one up as an absolute hero, I think, is a terrible mistake. Although, you know, the thing that really concerned me about McCullough's book is he spent the last third of the book trashing Thomas Jefferson. Anyhow, 45 minutes past the hour.
The Tom Hartman Program. The true people's radio.
Tom Hartman.
Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, Randy Rhodes, Jeff Farias, and Mike Malloy. Weekdays on 1480 KPHX.
I'm Carl Edwards. As a NASCAR driver, I can't let allergies slow me down. My eyes get itchy, I try to scratch them, forget it. That's why I use Claritin. It works hard on my toughest allergy symptoms. And unlike many other allergy medicines, it won't make you drowsy. In fact, with Claritin, I'm alert and focused, so I get back to feeling like myself again. For me, Claritin really is the perfect allergy medicine. Stay alert, stay focused. Live Claritin Clear with non-drowsy Claritin.
Use as directed. Now's your chance to save on your next Claritin purchase. Look for coupon savings in this week's Sunday paper.
Just call in and let it rip.
John.
John McCain is no moderate. John McCain is no maverick. John McCain is simply an extension of the Bush third term.
A McCain economic program will be absolutely more of the same.
He's just a yes man because Bush slapped him around like he was some child every time he disagreed with him and he fell right in line and started kissing his hand or something.
Want to share your ideas? Call in at 866-303-2270. Let your voice be heard.
This is Jeff Farias, and I want to tell you about a great way to save money and help the environment. A pool is one of the largest energy drains in your home. Hightwatt pool timers provide efficient year-round control for your pool, and they quickly pay for themselves. Visit tightwatt.com. That's TIGHTWATT.com to learn more. Saving energy is good for your wallet and the environment. Say goodbye to your outdated pool timer and see what efficient year-round control can do for you. Worried about reducing your carbon footprint? Visit tightwatt.com today and use their energy savings calculator to find out how much energy and money you can save by switching out that old timer with an energy-efficient Tightwatt pool timer. That's tightwatt.com. Tightwatt is locally owned and concerned about the Valley's energy consumption. Buy local and go green at tightwatt.com. Or call them at 877-779-7967. Go to tightwatt.com today and start saving money and energy and help our valley go a little bit greener.
There's a new show on Saturdays at noon called Project Mayhem, hosted by Martin Grant. Project Mayhem is an innovative show where we will discuss how the Democrats should be taking their gloves off in this all-important election year and why singing Kumbaya is not going to get Hillary or Obama into the White House. That's Project Mayhem, Saturdays at noon right here on the Valley's Progressive Talk 1480 KPHX.
Spring is here and summer's rapidly approaching, so the backyard pool is your private oasis. Imagine coming home after a long day of work and enjoying a cool dip in your pool or spa. Well, Clear Edge Pools provides all the professional pool services you need. Weekly pool cleaning, tile cleaning, pool repairs, and one-time cleanups. Clear Edge Pools is an environmentally friendly and locally owned business that provides valley-wide services. So we can install a new salt system which will remove the harsh chemical smell and residue left on your skin when you get out of the pool. Stop wasting time and money trying to maintain your pool and leave it up to the professionals at Clear Edge Pools. Remember, you should be enjoying your pool, not working on it. Call today and mention 1480 KPHX and receive 20% off your first month of pool service. For a free pool maintenance or repair estimate, call 623-218-8353. That's 623-218-8353. The choice is clear with Clear Edge Pools. Call us today at 623-218-8353. That's 623-218-8353.
Licensed and insured.
Stephanie Miller.
Here is Sue and Jacob, who is four. Get ready to say aw. Hi, Sue.
Yes.
Is Jacob there?
Yes, he is.
Can I say hi?
You sure can.
Hi.
Hi. Are you ready for us to say George W. Bush is an idiot?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Jake.
George W. Bush is an idiot.
Oh, yay. I believe
the children are. The Stephanie Miller Show. Early weekday mornings from 6 to 9 on 1480 KPHX.
Now more with Tom Hartman on the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX.
Because you're mine, I walk the line. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
You know, I feel that way about this country. 9.5 minutes before the hour. Welcome back. By the way, the Tom Hartman Program, powered in part by the Teamsters Union. Speaking from behind the good old working-class stainless steel microphone, the Teamsters Union holding Waste Management Incorporated accountable for the fight for worker safety. Find out more at teamster.org. Ed, welcome back. 866-303-2270, our telephone number, tomhartman.com, if you want to drop into our live chat room. Sue, I see Sue is back in the chat room. Apparently, she got her mouse's ball cleaned up, and all is well. And now Higgins is going, mice? Mice? No, wrong kind of mouse. Janelle in Seattle. Hey, Janelle, what's up?
Hi, Tom. I hear you talking about trade, and the focus is always on economic impact.
Yes.
And I think
that there's also political and social and environmental. I mean, there's a whole variety.
Environmental was the point I really wanted to bring up. I mean, a good example, I live in Washington and trying to order salmon from Alaska recently, and a lot of the salmon was actually being shipped to China for packaging and then shipped back to Washington. And thinking of all the oil and the pollution, and this is just common these days.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And so much of our food is coming from South America. Frankly, we really need country of origin labeling on our food, you know, as well as everything else. That way, at least, consumers could participate in sort of the equivalent of a tariff. But Janelle, excellent point. Thank you for making it. And I would say, and let me just, since we were, I went off on John Adams in the last segment. And John Adams, and somebody in the chat room actually made a brilliant point. John Adams was a brilliant revolutionary and a lousy politician. And Jefferson, I think, was a brilliant revolutionary. He wasn't actually that much of a revolutionary. He was a brilliant and eloquent writer. He was so painfully shy. And this is where, at least in the two segments that I've seen of the Adams documentary, I know that, as I said, the last third of McCullough's book, he basically just trashes Jefferson. And using, you know, the perspective of Adams to do so. Jefferson was so painfully shy. And in fact, there is a book called by Norm Legend called Diagnosing Jefferson that suggests that he actually had Asperger's syndrome, that he was an Aspie. But he was so painfully shy and so basically socially dysfunctional that when he became president and had to give the one of the few jobs that the president has is to give an annual, it's not a State of the Union address. The Constitution doesn't require it to be a speech, but to deliver to Congress a something that tells what the State of the Union is. He was so shy, he couldn't do it. And so he wrote it, and he asked his friend and his protege, James Madison, to read it for him to Congress. But he comes across in the miniseries, not as a guy who is shy, but instead as a guy who's some kind of arrogant jerk. And I didn't know either of the guys. I'm not that old, but I don't think that history holds that up. But my point, to take it back to Adams and Jefferson, in response to Janelle's thing about exporting pollution, is that people rightly criticized Jefferson for being one of the Virginians who was a slaveholder, as was Madison, as was Washington, as were most of the Virginians. It's a legitimate criticism. Even though he spent much of his life working to end slavery, the first piece of legislation he submitted as a member of the House of Burgesses in Virginia, as a legislator in Virginia, was to end slavery in Virginia. I could give you the whole list, but in any case, nonetheless, he was a slaveholder, and he's correctly criticized for that. However, Jefferson had to look his slaves in the face. I'm sitting here wearing a shirt that was made in Malaysia. I'm working on a computer that was made in China. Odds are you're listening to me on a radio that was made in some country like that, or over a computer, or whatever it may be. The jeans I'm wearing, I know we're not made in the United States because they're Levi's, and Levi doesn't make jeans in the United States anymore. I do have a pair of union-made jeans. There's one union shop in the United States, unionmade, I think.org is the website. You can find it, you can track them down. But at the moment, you know, what I'm wearing are a pair of Levi's, and I know that they're made outside the United States in some sweatshop someplace probably. I don't know. But the point is that we did not end slavery in the United States. We merely exported it. And we did not end dirty, polluting industries in the United States. We merely we put them in somebody else's backyard, the backyard of our new slaves. And until we come to grips with that reality, and that global free trade is a euphemism for exporting slavery, exporting pollution, and exporting poverty to a large extent, Mexico has not... The middle class of Mexico has not expanded as a consequence of NAFTA. It has shrunk. There are more people in poverty in Mexico now post-NAFTA than pre, for example. Then we're not going to get it right. Jeff in Tacoma. Hey, Jeff. Got about a minute here before we got to wrap up this show.
Excellent, Tom. You're speaking my language. Free trade is a total myth. It's a total fraud. And I just want to give props to Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama yesterday for saying the truth. that Colombia has participated in the execution of trade unionists. Bully for them. I'm so proud that they have the courage to say that. We should not have a free trade deal with them. But here's something I'd like Barack Obama to bring up when he talks to Petraeus today in the Foreign Affairs Committee, which is that Bremer outlawed labor unions in Iraq. And then Negroponte rolled in, and death squads are killing trade unionists.
Yep, and in fact, when Negroponte went to Iraq, I pointed out on the air, I said, you know, when this guy went down to El Salvador, within weeks, you had death squads operating and people showing up with a bullet in the back of the head with their hands tied behind their back. Watch for it to happen. And 2 weeks later, it started happening in Iraq. Not that there's necessarily anything to do with John Negroponte. Could just be a coincidence. Coming up tomorrow, Sidney Blumenthal, distinguished journalist and former senior advisor to Bill Clinton as president, is going to talk to us about the strange death of Republican America. Plus, I'll be challenging former Undersecretary of Defense for George Bush Sr. about Petraeus. Don't forget, my friends, democracy begins with you. Tag, you're it! Get out there, get active. See you tomorrow.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. For exclusive audio archives and more information, visit TomHartmanRadio.com.
Have you joined AARP?
Give me one good reason why I should.
You receive AARP the magazine, the AARP bulletin, access to the AARP website. You can save at thousands of hotels, motels, and resorts worldwide. Save on airfares, cruises, auto rentals, and vacation packages. AARP confronts age discrimination by employers. AARP works to strengthen Social Security and protect pension and retirement funds. Become eligible for AARP-endorsed homeowners, auto, and life insurance. Get access to reasonably priced long-term care insurance and group health insurance. Pharmacy services with convenient delivery to your mailbox. Access to a reduced-fee legal services network. Save on shoes, gifts, videos, and other products. You can join when you turn 50. Save on home security, online service subscriptions, emergency towing through the AARP motoring plan and other services. All for $12.50 a year.
That is one good reason to join.
Hurry. 1-800-950-7599. That's 1-800-950-7599. To join for only $12.50 a year. 1-800-950-7599. That's 1-800-950-7599.
Donald Rumsfeld said, and I quote, there is bulletproof evidence of links between Al-Qaeda and the government of President Saddam Hussein. Was that a lie, Mr. Rumsfeld, or was that manufactured somewhere else? Because all of my CIA colleagues disputed that, and so did the 9/11 Commission. And so I would like to ask you to be upfront with the American people. Why did you lie to get us into a war that was not necessary and that has caused these kinds of casualties? Why?
Well, first of all, I haven't lied.
Meet, greet, and hear Patriot Ray McGovern this Friday, April 11th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at Grace Lutheran Church, a 27-year CIA veteran who's briefed seven presidents, defied the Bush administration, and confronted Donald Rumsfeld's lies. Get your tickets today at SpeakTheTruthToPower.com. Seating is limited. Go to SpeakTheTruthToPower.com or call 480-650-0746.
This is the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
AP Radio News. I'm Diane Kepley. Faced with reports of increasing violence in parts of Iraq, the top American commander in that country assesses the progress that has been made. In a congressional hearing, General David Petraeus proposed halting U.S. troop withdrawals this summer.
Upon the withdrawal of the last Surge Brigade combat team in July, we undertake a 45-day period of consolidation and evaluation.
And he would not commit to a timetable for resuming the withdrawals. The idea is likely to meet criticism from Democrats who are pushing for a more rapid reduction in the U.S. military commitment. And the White House is not saying yet whether it agrees with those recommendations either.
The president said often he'll do as the generals on the spot recommend. But officially, Press Secretary Dana Perino reports he hasn't yet decided on the drawdown pause General David Petraeus has outlined.
You'll hear from the president on Thursday, and it's just premature for me to forecast what he's going to say.
Thursday, Bush plans a speech on Iraq that'll set the course for the coming months. Before that, he's meeting once more with congressional leaders, but since he's repeatedly vowed not to squander hard-won gains in Iraq, there seems little doubt they will change his mind. Mark Smith at the White House.
In Iraq, Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr is threatening to lift a seven-month ceasefire, but he has called off a mass march that was planned to mark tomorrow's fifth anniversary of the U.S. capture of Baghdad. Congress is working on help for people and businesses caught in the housing credit crunch. The Senate is voting on $25 billion in tax breaks for home builders and banks. The House plan would give the breaks to first-time homebuyers and people who invest in low-income rental housing. We're getting some more inside information on what the Fed was thinking before its last rate increase. Minutes from their closed-door meeting show some members were concerned about a prolonged and severe business downturn, and some thought a widening recession cannot be ruled out. On Wall Street at this hour, we do have a slight downturn. The Dow at last report was down about 38 points. This is AP Radio News. As authorities search a polygamous compound in Texas, a second man has now been arrested. He's charged with tampering with physical evidence. State officials are still questioning the 400.